Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are. Dan, it's a big day.
Oh, no.
It's a big day.
Oh, no.
We got something
I'm
for
you.
I'm
so scared. Oh, this tension. Oh, I can't. Oh,
hey.
There we go.
Oh, no.
That could have been way worse. That,
champagne is a thing.
That champagne spillage was way better than I expected.
Cheap champagne.
Popping corks here in the Knowledge
Absolutely.
Fight studio thanks to the
death of Alex Jones.
No.
He died, right?
No,
he's dead.
No.
I'm pretty sure they killed him.
This is one of those nice...
Facebook murdered him,
see,
right?
The theme of this show is that I know a lot about Alex Jones and you only know what I tell you, but
right.
This is one of those rare instances where it would be impossible for you
it
to not know.
It would be legitimately impossible for me to not know this information.
All of the internet is doing a little dance on Alex's face.
It's pretty great.
About how he has been kicked off of nearly every...
Just about everything.
We got...
He's on Google Plus. So I've heard he's on Google Plus.
He may be. he's on Gab, I'm sure, still.
Of course.
That one's totally fine.
That's not going anywhere.
One of the difficulties is...
Stormfront, I assume.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Mike Adams' new video streaming service
yeah.
that will take off like gangbusters. So one of the difficulties of doing this show is we recorded our Monday episode on Sunday. And, you know, it was from a 2009 episode that Alex did. It wasn't in the present day or anything like that. We put it out. I feel good about life. And then I wake up Monday morning and just everything all over the places. Alex is banned from all these places. Spotify, Pinterest kicked him off. Yeah. And so, like, I was like, shit, we put out a good episode, but everyone's going to probably be searching for Alex Jones, might accidentally find us. We have a new episode out today, and it has nothing to do with that. So in my haze, I was like, I got to try and put out an episode on Tuesday to come out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because we got to get on top of this thing. I was like, nah, who cares? We can get to it in our regular schedule. No need for an emergency. This is,
everybody's got it.
Yeah. And I'm glad that we waited because he's been kicked off even more things. Like even just before we started recording today, well, he was kicked off YouPorn, earlier today on Tuesday.
That was nice of them.
And then, just a little bit ago, he got kicked off MailKeep.
He got kicked off MailKeep.
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 May have kicked him off. They did. Because they put out a statement that read something. I think I actually have it in front of me here. Because it was, it sounded a little bit like MailChimp trying to get some points. Quote, MailChimp generally doesn't comment on individual users or accounts, but we'll make an exception today. MailChimp notified InfoWars and their accounts have been terminated for violating our terms of service, which make it clear that we do not allow people to use our platform to disseminate hateful content.
Hmm.
So, but I like that. Like, we normally don't talk about this shit, but we did that.
Fuck that guy!
Yeah, there is a touch of that in there.
Because they can't even really prove that he violated their terms of service, can they?
I mean, none of these places really have much of a leg to stand on after they tolerate him for as long
exactly.
as they have.
No, this whole thing is magical bullshit, but fine.
Well, see,
I'm happy with it.
We've been texting back and forth a little bit about our feelings about this stuff, and I think we're on the same page that is like, hooray.
Yeah.
But a very sarcastic hooray.
Yeah.
You know, like, you should have done this a long time ago. You doing it now only... I mean, it's going to substantially hurt him. And
right.
I think that there's some
I think he's
in
done.
That.
I think he's done.
I don't think so. I think he has a couple other moves he can make.
Okay.
But I didn't text you this part. Oh, just to finish the thought. The reason that all of this is happening is because one of these businesses, whoever flinched first... And just decided, fuck it, he's gone.
Yeah.
All the rest of them could use that as cover. And they're like, we've wanted to do this. Let's just go. So they've all, I don't think it's coordinated. I don't think it's a plan or anything like that. But I think that one of these companies got off their ass and the other people are like, okay, now we can move.
I think it was essentially the, cowardice of capitalism at play.
Perhaps.
Like, once it was okay, everybody's like, okay, fine. Now we get to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
Because nobody wanted to be the first one to be like,
because they have cover now.
Right. Because they were afraid that their right-wing list, users, you know, the Facebook, massive Facebook community would, leave Facebook? Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Bunch of cowards.
It's ridiculous.
Kowtowing to that bullshit. And you know what? Alex should hire James Gunn back. Is that what we were
talking about?
Is that the
conversation?
That was the one, right?
So I think that my immediate feeling on Monday was I need to look into this and see if it's another bullshit thing where you know, X, Y, or Z is like only four videos were kicked off, or it's a 20-day thing.
Yeah.
And from everything I can tell, it looks pretty severe. But then my next response was, and I had to sit with this for a little while. I think that Alex's fate is now in his own hands more than it has ever been.
Okay.
Because where he goes, success or failure, is entirely dependent on how he responds to this. If he responds with well-reasoned arguments, passion, maybe trying to sue them or something like, if he really did, he could turn himself into some sort of like deceitful
folk hero.
Right, a deceitful Lenny Bruce of sorts.
Yeah.
And he has the opportunity to do that now. He could transform what he is about, and it would actually give him an opportunity to put Trump on the back burner in many ways.
That's true.
But alternatively, if he keeps doing exactly what he's doing without the social media platform penetration, he's in serious trouble. Because
he's going to lose.
Without Facebook, even though he has 11 pages and they only got rid of four of them.
Oh, come on, guys.
Without being in the iTunes store.
David Knight still is.
Although, and Alex still is if you already subscribe to him. You can still get it if you have an RSS feed that you can plug in. It's just not searchable. You can't search for Alex Jones
in their
catalog. So that's even sort of a like, it's going to hurt him, but it's, you know, he's off YouTube in terms of his 2 million subscriber channel, but that doesn't mean he can't still fuck with the rules and put, like, I found this episode on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's going to be little ways, but it's going to be severely diminished. And now with MailChimp saying that they are not going to work with him, that's probably how he distributed the InfoWars newsletter.
Yeah.
So that avenue is cut off to him. It's only a matter of time before... I don't know how he runs his website, but if he's stupid enough to have hosting not be on his own servers or something like that.
Ooh, yeah.
If he has like a GoDaddy page or something like that, he could have Infowars.com taken down. I think that's super unlikely, but he'll have to find a way to be his own marketing more than he has been in the past. And I don't think he's very good at that. I think he's very alienating to new people. I think he's horrible.
Interesting.
So my prediction is his fate is in his own hands. If he can pull off some sort of amazing triple axel, then maybe he has a chance. But otherwise, it'll just be he goes back to about the market penetration and the relative popularity of like 6 years ago.
Of whatever somebody with 30 radio shows can...
That's not
stations.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's not nothing.
No, I mean, and he does have a fan base that's not going to go away because of this.
Right.
So, I don't know, it's sort of...
That will only become more rabid because of this.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
And time will tell if Alex goes more rabid along with them.
Yeah.
So, my broad statement, I think, and I think you agree, I hope, is that we will see, this is really bad for him, but it's not like a knockout blow, I don't think. He's going to have to really fight to get out from under this.
Oh, yeah.
But, and especially when he's already having to deal with being sued a bunch of other places and his ex-wife is in court with him about the custody stuff. I think he's going to be hard pressed to fight the way he needs to fight in order to save the operation.
He's fighting on all fronts. Yeah. He actually right now reminds me of the Alamo insofar as this is entirely his fault.
Right.
He shouldn't have been in this situation to begin with.
Nope.
And he's going to be overrun and killed.
Yep. And he's a drunk.
Well, that's certainly true.
So, Jordan, we'll get to today's episode, which is going to be August 6th, 2018. But before we do that, generally, this would be the part of the show where I say thank you to a donor. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say thank you to someone who I believe is already a donor. I'm
Ian?
Certain of
yeah.
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Ian, for sure.
And we have got a piece of mail, perhaps a first on this podcast.
That's true.
A piece of mail from Policy Wonk Ian. And before we open it up, I would like to say that for this very generous gift, I am going to declare Ian a Raptor Princess.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ. I know how to read. I am out of control. You know, I've never really seen a lot of white racism in my life. I really haven't. I bet you money there are few living black people that have been abused by white people as much as I have been abused by black people. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, both those guys were complete badasses. Complete studs.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I help you? I'm Bernie Sanders.
Thank you so much, Ian. And now.
Thank you so much, Ian. It is time for the unboxing.
Jordan, this is going to blow your mind.
Here we go.
We have this priority mail from the USPS.
It's a foot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hand.
Oh, yeah.
With only three fingers. That's it. That's what we have. We have a foot, we have a disembodied foot and a disembodied hand.
Prosthetic feet and hand.
That's what we've got going on.
I really imagined them being much heavier than that because I was holding the package.
Uh-huh.
But man, look at that. Isn't that something else?
It is something else. It is very much something else.
So I've decided.
And now I have decided to make a foot hand.
I feel like what we should do, because this is a very bizarre thing to exist, is I don't know what we do with the foot, but I would say with the hand, we leave it in the middle of the table, and if you have a point and the other person needs to shut up, you raise the prosthetic hand. This is like an
emergency. Are you conching me? Are you going to conch?
This is an emergency. I have a point. You put up the prosthetic hand. Also, you took that much better than I expected.
What am I going to do? What am I going to be concerned?
I would expect you to be confused.
I'm not confused at all.
Yeah, just totally normal. A listener sent us a prosthetic hand and foot.
Why does that surprise anybody? I don't understand why that's a surprise.
Certainly relevant to our show.
See, now here's what I'm going to go with.
Right.
This is actually a monkey's paw because the pinky is severed.
That's
so
true.
We have three fingers here.
Right.
That, I assume, means we get four wishes.
And they're going to be tragically fulfilled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There will be an ironic twist to all of these. Like if one of our wishes was we got Alex kicked off of Facebook and everything else, then the way that would happen is we also lost our arm and foot.
Right. Or he gets kicked off because he's created an even better Facebook.
Oh, that would be worse.
That would be a monkey paw.
That would be a monkey paw kind of thing.
So there is actually a little bit of a tragic thing that I need to get into real quick. It's come to my attention that 1530 neon nips might not actually work.
Because the S doesn't actually work?
I might have been wrong about that S.
You might have been wrong about the S.
So our phone number might be 1530
neon nip.
The S is implied.
Much like the hand that we have received only has lost its pinky finger, so too now has our phone number lost its S.
Indeed.
And we only have one nip.
We have one nip. But we have received some calls. I'm
okay.
Very excited about that.
Have you listened to them?
I have not listened to all of them.
Because
some of them I'd like to be a surprise. But I saw this one and I thought, I'm going to check what this one's going on. Appreciate the call.
Hey, Dan and Jordan. This is Policy Wonk Devin in Chico, California. I think you messed up in the area code. I just typed neon nips into my phone to call you. So as a resident of Chico, I am demanding that you come here and do a live show. I can guarantee that no less than three people will attend, including me and my wife. And also the Sierra Nevada Brewery is here, which I believe has produced a featured beverage from a previous episode. This will be the last year of my demands. Thank you for all your hard work. Keep it up. And more Project Camelot episodes.
Thank you so much.
We don't hear that request too much anymore. I love it. Thank you so much.
It's awesome. When that call started, I thought like, well, maybe this isn't a fan.
Maybe this is somebody whose phone number we stole. Like, they accidentally got a bunch of calls from Knowledge Miners.
Either that, or I was like, this is somebody from, like, the civic department or something like that. Being like, hey, guys, I know you're fucking around, but you can't have that phone number.
We do not condone your behavior. You have called for white genocide in the past. Also, we are now huge fans.
You don't believe that we are residents of Chico. Fair enough.
Fair.
So we'd like to announce we'll be doing a live show in Chico, California.
Are we?
Three people are coming.
I don't know.
That's
I don't
huge.
Know if I can handle the airfare for that one.
That's huge. Three
That's
people.
Huge. That is big.
We appreciate it. If we can get out to any places in the future, we'd love to do it, but logistics are tough.
Yeah, there's nothing we would love more than to go on a big tour.
Rent a Winnebago.
Yeah, just do it, but it is cost prohibitive.
It's real rough. But if you want to support our Winnebago dreams, you can go to our website, knowledgefight.com,
Nicely
click
done.
Support the show, Jesus, this is a lot of fun. This we have champagne, yep. We have prosthetic limbs,
yep.
And now we
got
phone calls.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
What a life.
I've never been happier in my entire goddamn
life. All because Alex got kicked off Facebook.
That helped.
Yeah.
No monkey paw there, my friend.
So we've given a little bit of like our preliminary feelings about Alex getting kicked off of these platforms.
I wonder what he thinks of it, though,
exactly.
Dan.
Exactly, and that is what we're going to discuss
today.
How
are we going to find out?
Well, I have found the August 6th, 2018 episode, which would have been Monday. So when he was freaking out about the Facebook, because all that stuff had come out, and YouTube, all that had happened right before he got on air.
Yeah.
So he has like a couple hours to get used to the idea of all of this. And here's an out-of-context drop of Alex Jones from August 6th.
I'm not mad about what's happening to InfoWars. I'm not a sociopath.
Yes, you are.
I'm not a demon.
All right. Well, he's not mad.
A little bit.
That's good to hear. He's not mad.
I'm sure that pronouncement will be borne out through the rest of the show.
Yeah, we'll see. So here's where the show starts, when he gets into the big news, which of course is about him.
Here's the news. 10 minutes before we went live, the Alex Jones channel that had 2.5 billion views, they dialed it back to 1.6 billion views, 2.5 million subscribers, said it was terminated. That's breaking here now. So Facebook, Apple, Spotify all banned us sometime last night and gave the fake folks at PissFeed, BuzzFeed, Yellow Journalism Feed, the breaking news. And right before I went live, I said, check the Alex Jones channel. So I told crew last week, they said, oh, they're just playing games with you. They've already shadow banned us, but they're not going to have the nerve to actually outright ban us. And I said, no, they are. Because this is the amount of propaganda you see. This is the type of propaganda you see before you invade a country. Well, they're invading the First Amendment.
How do you invade the First Amendment? How do you invade the First Amendment, Dan? Do you go with a ground war?
I wouldn't.
Are you sure? So you would start with what? Like a drone strike campaign?
Nuke it.
Nuke it.
Nuke it.
Start from nukes?
Absolutely.
That seems a bit aggressive.
You've got to demoralize that First Amendment.
Shot across the bow first. Warn it. Let it know that you're watching.
Look, the First Amendment isn't human. It can't be killed by conventional weapons. You have to use radiation if you want to kill the First Amendment.
Is that how that works?
I read that somewhere, yeah.
All right.
It was in the Third Amendment.
What about just an EMP?
EMPs will disable
the First Amendment
for temporary basis.
But it won't kill it.
No. Good
right.
God, no.
All right.
Foolish. Foolish to think that the job is done after an EMP.
All right. Fair enough.
So, cool. Alex, I would say, I mean, we've already kind of heard this talk before in his sort of, this is just him repeating his narratives. Now what he was afraid of happening has happened.
Yeah.
So the idea that like, this is the propaganda you see before they invade a country. I am said country who is innocent and spotless.
And I am also the avatar of the First Amendment.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, that's not all that exciting.
And he has to be petty while he's doing it. I guarantee that conversation went the other way around where he was telling people that, no, don't worry about it. They don't have the courage to do
it. Right.
And they were like, dude, we are going to get banned.
His lawyer is probably telling him.
Freak out.
Yeah. Hey, dude, you can't pay me anymore if they kick you off their platforms. So one of the interesting things is like that, you know, that's a little petty and a little standard for, Alex's, normal, behaviors. But he does take a really interesting path through a lot of this episode, which is he blames the Chinese.
That is an interesting path.
He has sort of two angles on his getting kicked off everything. And the first and sort of the most aggressive of them is he blames China.
Right.
And why?
That sounds right.
Why would you ask why? Why would you blame China?
Xi Jinping.
Sure.
Apple and Google are now officially merged with China. They have announced anyone criticizing the communist Chinese will be banned.
What?
They've announced that they will comply, Apple specifically, with Chinese government rules and say in Reuters that the Chinese government now runs Apple worldwide. The code keys to all Apple devices in U.S. government, military facilities, everything is compromised. Office of Personnel Management, everything transferred. Panama Canal, all deep water ports, 98% of rare earth minerals.
You porn.
Over 300,000 anchor baby women a year coming in, having babies from China, having it all paid for.
What does
Most
that
of them
with
wives
war?
Of members of Chinese intelligence. All 50 U.S. public universities are basically run by the Chi-Coms. That's even mainstream news. We
there
are
only
wide 50? Open.
It's all
Meanwhile,
ludicrous.
Jones 86th on 8-6. Facebook strips InfoWars. Totally bans it. Crackdown intensifies. YouTube just banned us. Tech completely. says we've been terminated. Yeah, that's right. Skynet knew they'd already been beaten. All they could do was send back a Terminator from the past to defeat us. Good luck. Tommy already got you.
I don't understand that, but
I will give him credit. 86 on 86. That's pretty great. I hadn't heard that one yet. That one's pretty great.
What's the 86?
August 6th.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty solid.
I didn't even put the pieces together.
Dude, that's pretty solid. I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him credit. He can turn a phrase.
I think that's a headline he's reading.
Okay, never mind.
I don't think that's him.
Never mind.
So all that other stuff is stuff we've talked about before, like the Panama Canal is a load of bullshit. That's private companies that have bought up area around the Panama Canal and then sold part of that. Same thing goes with the deep water ports, all that stuff. The one thing that we didn't ever really talk about in those narratives was the Office of Personnel Management hack. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in 2015 there was a massive hack in the FBI Office of Personnel Management. And it sounds really scary, in that it was a massive hack of tons of, like, potentially tons of information about people who worked for the government, and possibly spies who had applied for jobs.
Sure.
Their cover could be blown, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, the information taken from the Office of Personnel Management hack has never been used. According to Bloomberg, quote, stolen data on 21 million individuals, including social security numbers and 5.6 million fingerprints from a massive 2015 hack against the Office of Personnel Management, doesn't appear to have been shared or sold by the perpetrators, says William Ivanina, the head of U.S. counterintelligence.
False flag.
Quote, whoever took this data, we're pretty confident they haven't shared it. Ivanina, whose title is Director of National Counterintelligence and Security Center, said in an interview Thursday. The conclusion that the Chinese government was behind it is suspected, but no one has proven it. Quote, cybersecurity experts believe the attack was carried out by China, though Ivanina says that the USA has not reached that conclusion.
Yeah.
A Chinese national was arrested for it. But they have not been able to prove that was the government was involved in any way.
He was arrested by us?
A lot of this is still unfolding.
Okay.
A lot of this is still, there was like a loan fraud case that was going on that a lot of people were speculating was connected to the information that was stolen.
Right.
But outside of that, none of it's ever been used for blackmail. I think that these numbers of peoples have never been reported as
being
fraudulently used. So I understand the fear that Alex has there, but it's
currently benign.
Well, but it's in the same way that he started that clip talking about how Google and YouTube have merged, or Google and Apple have merged with the Chinese government.
Officially.
You can't report that. That's not true. In the same way that, the Office of Personnel Management hack has the potential to be something really, really fucked up. But in the 3 years since it's happened, it hasn't materialized into anything really negative, and there are tons of people investigating it, and they have not come to the conclusion that you have come to. So your information's shoddy. You are demonstrating why you get thrown off things because of this sort of behavior.
Just like Trump with all of his crimes. He's like, oh, I never did that. And then he's like, hey, but when I did that, that was fine.
Right.
And you're like, no, you just admitted you did that.
It's the OJ school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, to the question of whether or not you can criticize China, you can.
Yeah.
Google's not going to throw you off for criticizing China.
Seems like a fairly common thing people do all the time now.
Yeah. It's just bad when you are also, Alex Jones, because of all the other stuff you do.
Right.
Just criticizing China, you're going to get a cakewalk on that.
Did you know that all of China is crisis actors?
Oh, my God. That's a lot of crisis
actors. Yeah, 1.4 billion crisis
that's
actors.
That's so expensive.
That's a lot.
Oof, I can't even imagine.
Who can afford that?
I don't know.
The globalists.
Chinese.
Yeah.
Because they have the Panama Canal now. So
corporations, a plan, Panama. That is a, what's it called?
Onomatopoeia?
No.
Palindrome.
Palindrome. That's right. That's right.
Able was I ere I saw Elba. Anyway, in this next clip, Alex complains about the Chinese more.
All I can say is we've been shadow banned for a year and a half. And quite frankly, it's only made us stronger when it comes to the core base of InfoWars listeners taking action. But it has not allowed us to reach a lot of new people. That's why you have to understand now that InfoWars is the most censored program in the world, because we know the truth, and the Chi-Coms want us off the air. The EU is fining Google, Facebook, Twitter for, quote, hate speech, whatever they define it, totally anti-American. Secret
it's
groups
the
report
EU.
You, they never tell you what it is. So they're putting multi-billion dollar fines on these companies from one end. And then China's saying, you want to merge with us and have tax exemption. From the other end, you got to take the Patriots off.
I don't think that China cares that much about the Patriots in America in the much the same way Alex shouldn't care about applying American law to other countries all the goddamn time.
Well,
just because he sees them as Western and our brethren, you know, like the UK, he assumes that all white countries have the same laws.
Well, the Constitution is called the White Constitution for a reason, Tim.
He thinks that.
It's the white laws.
I'm not joking at all.
No, I genuinely think he does.
The
I
way
agree.
He operates, he's like, they're trying to take away freedom of speech in London. It's like, you know, they have a very different view on hate speech over there. They have very specific rules about that sort of thing. Or right. When he complains about, in France, Marine Le Pen getting in trouble for talking about Muslims occupying. And he's like, what, is this against the free speech? Well, no, they got occupied. And they don't like it when people talk like that.
It's usually a bad thing.
Right, it's all the same shit. It's like, what? How little do you know? How little are you interested in nuance if you just think all countries have the same laws, if you have grouped them together in your head?
That makes sense.
It's nuts.
It makes perfect
sense.
It's
absolutely crazy to
Why
me.
Would white people follow any other laws, Dan?
Sure. All comes from Hammurabi,
exactly.
The most famous white man.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Admiralty.
Where are you at?
I think he might actually be right in one thing, though.
He is right a couple times on the show. I'll give him credit for that.
Does this make him the most censored program in the world?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, what other program has been kicked off of all of those?
There are tons that you've never heard of before.
Because they were kicked off too soon.
No, because they just were like maybe somebody yelling the N-word or something like that.
Is that a show?
And iTunes is
I
like,
think that might
no.
be a show. I think
no.
that might be a show.
Plenty of things have been kicked off iTunes before. Plenty of things. It's ridiculous. You think Facebook hasn't banned people before?
I know it's banned people, but it's never banned, it's never censored this, like a show this much.
You know,
right?
David Duke has a radio show?
Yeah, and he's still allowed on all kinds of places.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's what I'm saying here. They will allow David Duke over Alex Jones, which is another reason why this is such cowardly bullshit.
Right, that goes back
because,
to what we were talking about at the top
of
the
show. It's like fucking nut up. If you're gonna do it, do it.
Yeah,
and they're gonna
yeah,
be, and
yeah,
they're
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
oh,
100%.
we're gonna alienate conservative viewers. And it's like, well, yeah, because they're also hate speeching.
Can I actually walk that back a tiny bit?
What's that?
I don't know if David Duke still has a radio show. Irrelevant to the point, but yeah, I mean, that is difficult to get around, but that's one of the things that we were talking about when this was all still kind of hypothetical. And that was that when you do this, you've set a precedent or you've set a standard, regarding your terms of service, it's impossible to live up to. You can't.
It's not impossible to live up to.
It would take so many people. It would take so many employees or the most, like I said, I texted you this, the most dystopian surveillance, algorithm or whatever for YouTube or for, Google in order to purge infractions of this. It would be almost impossible.
Yeah. I agree with you on that front. On the other hand, you could, fucking make a dent.
No, you could.
You know?
And that's why
you could suck it up and you could do something about this shit.
Totally.
But they won't because they're cowards.
Most likely.
In the same way that they're all fucking cowards. They're all fucking cowards, man. I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know what how to, you know, generalize it more. But I think that kicking Alex off is a good thing. Too late.
Good start.
It's too late. But it does introduce more problems for what your for these companies, what your behavior will now be expected to be in the future. And it's not like a thing where now the liberals and all are calling for blood and they won't stop until every conservative is censored or anything like that. But it is a situation where it's like, well, now you've established that this is what you will and will not accept.
Right.
And therefore, you have to live up to that.
Well, that's why. So my dad recently sent me a Breitbart article.
Yeah, he did.
Because he is slowly falling into madness.
I feel like Breitbart might be better than some of the things you said he sent you before.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it is not your belief system. Like, you know what? If you want to believe in conservative lies, that's fine. But don't send me a Breitbart article. They're con men. Well, in the same way that Alex Jones is a con man who is fucking stoking your fears for all of his nefarious ends.
Fun and
nobody,
profit.
Nobody at Breitbart believes in anything. They're all fucking insane people. Like, there's no, nobody shares your belief system there. If you want to send me an article from somebody like the fucking Spectator or the National Review or whatever fucking lie or bullshit you want to, at least those guys believe their lies.
Consider this. Breitbart has gone downhill since Andrew Breitbart and Ben Shapiro worked there.
Yeah.
So that tells you a lot.
Yeah.
But also what I hear there, and I don't know if this is what you're trying to, I don't know if this is what you're struggling with, but to me, if you say, my dad sent me a Breitbart article, that I hear, my dad doesn't know that this would be crazy.
Yeah.
For me, not right. just as an article. It's like he doesn't know that I know that this is bullshit.
Yeah, I was trying to, I was yeah. trying to, like, articulate, like, no. Don't do that. I've spent the last 2 years with Dan studying these bullshit liars. You can do that. Get me on a three-way call.
But don't do this
with me because it's a whole thing and you gotta just, nah.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
I agree. So,
old white men, man. What are we gonna do?
I don't know, man. Wait it out.
Wait.
So, this next clip, Alex, I was very shocked when, months ago, Alex announced that he was going to be interviewed by Megyn Kelly. Because Alex doesn't like to do interviews with
right.
the mainstream press anymore right. after he gets clowned all the time.
Right.
He pretends it's a win when he goes on that BBC show, and they call him an idiot and stuff like
of course.
That. He considers it a win. But he still doesn't want to do it too much because it sort of wears out the charm of that.
Yeah.
And so the Megyn Kelly thing was a surprise. And I got another surprise here with an interview he announced. And then he says some just really dumb shit.
He's got an interview with Pissfeed?
Pissfeed? No. That, I would have a heart attack if he said that.
And I had the New York Times here on Friday only because
New York Times.
This lady's been basically following me around, my family around in Austin. I wanted to do a test. I told her I was a recorder. She says, what are you going to do when you get banned? We're going to air this recording very soon. She goes, what are you going to do when you get banned off all these platforms? And she knew it was coming because the New York Times isn't a news agency. It's a globalist intelligence operation on record.
I want to get my hands on that tape because I'm going to guess she asked that as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I'm guessing she was like, what are you going to do?
Alex,
what are
you
going to
do get banned?
If these people, these media corporations sack up and actually do what they should be doing, what's your game plan?
Yeah.
What is your end game, if you will?
Ah, nice.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to, like, how are you going to respond to that? The operation that you've built is really great and very impressive, but you are beholden to a lot of things that are way outside your control. And I don't want to say that this is the reason I don't use Facebook or Twitter all that much, but I would be in a nightmare situation if I was him. You have this such a reliance on other people's businesses
for your
business to run.
Well, if
we barely advertise
off,
at all,
if we get kicked off iTunes, we're gone, right?
No,
like there's really no way to find us at that point.
I think you're fine because I think that most people who listen subscribe. I don't think we have many stray listeners. I think that most people who listen like this, and then the random people who do come in end up liking it and join up.
Yeah,
I think that's probably how it works for us.
Somehow.
So I don't know. I don't think getting thrown off stuff would matter to us. Let's insult the Chinese.
Oh no, we can't do it.
This bubbly is going to my head.
Xi Jinping is gonna find us.
Oh no.
I don't want any of that. Mm-mm. The guy who sent a exploding drone to Maduro is gonna find us. Mm. He hates socialists as much as we do. Mm. What are we doing?
I'm not sure. But the New York Times lady who came and interviewed Alex probably was not stalking his family. And also probably was just asking a question like that. Not
you know,
like
a good interviewer.
Not like a, I know this is about to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink. So,
frankly, she probably thought it would never happen to him. Because, I mean, this, to what extent blindsided everybody?
Even me.
Yeah, nobody expected any of these corporations to sack up.
Yeah, I think other people who cover Alex Jones in the, the Media Matters, Right Wing Watch, Pissfeed world.
Oh, yeah.
I follow some of them on Twitter, and I think they were even kind of taken aback by the extent that this
yeah.
has gone. Like, even I know it's a little comical, but the idea that YouPorn put out a statement that said, we're kicking him off, is pretty wild.
So was he like a subscribed member of YouPorn and he's no longer allowed to view premium content or what are we talking about?
I don't know what your engagement of tube porn sites is.
Yeah.
But I will say that I've dabbled around, and something that I've noticed is that a lot of people will post non-pornographic content on.
Yeah. No, they'll post like pirated videos. And
right.
Shit.
Or
yeah,
movies yeah. or,
pirated
TV shows.
Videos. How old am I? Pirated movies.
They,
yes.
They download,
they'll post
they download
VHS.
It from Kazaa. Yeah. And then, put it yeah. up on YouPorn.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's more what it is. It's like, we will kick off any videos that people upload of InfoWars content or something yeah. like that. So, but I mean, that extent is pretty wild, because that could be, like, all things, if that hadn't happened, I don't think he would ever do this, but it would be a very interesting play to be like, all right, we're now streaming on YouPorn.
That would have been great.
We've made a partnership.
That would have been great.
I am the Joey Ryan of propaganda.
I would have been fine with that, I think.
You have no idea who Joey Ryan is.
Nope.
He's a pro wrestler who had a partnership with YouPorn.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was great.
How's he doing in the cam girl community? Will they still allow him to?
He might be allowed on My Free Cams to stream the Alex Jones show. That would be fucking hilarious. For now, I think all he's got is Periscope, because that's owned by Twitter, and Twitter hasn't taken any action. So
Twitter hasn't taken any action.
Twitter has not kicked him off. And
wow, I didn't even. I just assumed that Twitter was in the jump.
No, at the time that we're recording this, Twitter has not made any sort of a move. And Periscope's owned by Twitter, so he's streaming on Periscope now, and that'll come up a little bit later.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Joey Ryan, by the way, is the guy who, his finishing move was people would grab his dick, and his dick was so strong that his dick would flip them.
Wait, was that during the 90s in the?
No, it was a couple years ago.
There was a guy who had a, I remember a storyline in the Attitude Era where a guy had a huge dick and they were gonna cut it off.
Well, that was Val Venus.
That's Val Venus, that's
he,
right.
He was a male porn star.
Yes.
Finishing move, the porn pretzel. There was a very, very racist storyline where there's a bunch of Asians who are going to cut off his pee-pee.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
And there was I did not remember it being racist.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Val Venus is not, I don't know if he's a good wrestler. I can't speak to that, but I do remember most of his storylines being a bit embarrassing in hindsight. And that one is profoundly racist.
Gotcha.
Joey Ryan has the, he would wrestle in Japan, and,
that sounds
they're
right.
like big, strong American dick.
Right.
And then he would flip them with it. Also kind of racist.
Somehow that's pretty racist, but I don't know by who.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure either. I'm gonna leave that one alone.
Let Japan sort that out.
Yeah, that's their business.
Yeah, you guys figure it out.
So, when we were starting the show up, you brought up Colonel Travis and the Alamo.
Yes.
And we know that Alex...
Oh, I imagine that he probably will too.
Yeah, it's kind of like he has a preoccupation with and believes himself to be Colonel Travis,
Weird. But
also doesn't know most of Colonel Travis's story. So he brings that up here. Again, he knows history, but only the headlines.
You're not a sardine, folks. You're not a minnow. They all get in little schools together hoping they're not the one that gets grabbed next, because they're not singled out. Men and humans with courage is about being singled out. I knew what the enemy was doing. I knew their battle plan. I made the conscious decision to take action. I made the conscious decision to draw their fire and expose who they were, believing in you and believing when you see the Alamo assaulted, and myself probably destroyed. I've been telling you this for years, that is remember InfoWars. Remember free speech.
Ooh.
But see, they're smart. They're like, we got to first demonize it so he's not a martyr. People see right through that. CNN that pushes the WMDs, the New York Times that wrote the lies on purpose that killed millions and sent our troops to be blown into bits. These
Ooh.
Are evil, wicked sociopaths.
Ooh, coming out
know
strong.
You have a soul. So they try to punch your buttons all day, but don't forget the financial support. That is the strongest thing you can do to make sure we continue on
Hell
and are strong
yeah.
in the fight.
Mm.
Feed your gladiator.
Feed
give
your
us water.
Gladiator.
Give
feed
us your prayers
gladiator.
As well. We will fight hard. Give us your love, your support, like sunshine on our faces, on our backs, on our chest to make us strong. You are
I don't
the water.
Know if that's
you are
how
the
that
sunshine.
Works.
You are the fresh air. You are the food.
You can get
you are,
skin
you
cancer.
Are the blood of this operation. You are the veins. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. Go there today and send them a strong message that you stand for the First Amendment, you stand
Do
for
it.
Us, and get air filtration, water filtration.
Come on, man.
How did Colonel Travis defeat the Mexicans?
Air
I'm not sure if that's how that went down, but he did.
Ed pivots. That's how he won.
Air filtration.
So earlier in the show, I told you that I thought that if he just continued to do the same thing, he's just dead in the water.
And
that's
he's currently doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a thing where you're wringing out a dry sponge, essentially. You have your audience. You have no access to new people to scare and all that stuff. So you have the audience that's already radicalized, and you've already taken a lot of their money. And I don't know if they're going to give you any more. At least not the millions that you need to run your operation.
Nah.
Now, if he doesn't have dark money coming in, then it's going to be a problem. But if he does, then it doesn't matter. And why not stay the course if you don't have to worry about money?
But if he does have the dark money coming in, why would the dark money stick around?
Well, I actually...
Like, if he doesn't have the penetration...
I have a theory about that, that I think should wait until the end of this episode.
Blackmail?
No.
His giant American penis?
No. He's no Joey Ryan.
Okay.
Mostly it has to do with, we'll get to it towards the end.
All right. Move on.
Suffice it to say, Alex Jones fits a very specific role and he can still do that from the shadows.
Okay.
That's what I'll say, and I'll get to more thoughts about that later.
All right.
This next clip is just about how he's still on iTunes if you have the RSS feed. We don't need to hear him say that. We already know it. So we'll move on to this one here, which I think he's projecting.
When we come back, I'm going to play an intro of why they're so bad and why they want to shut us down, because America's coming back, populism's exploding, the world's coming back, and the sick anti-American, anti-God cult of modern leftism, whose whole universe is hunting and controlling patriots and conservatives and families and ripping apart language and dumbing people down, this sick priest class of the priest of power that want to stomp on the human soul forever, they see the sleeping giant awakening and they're panicking and they don't know what to do. They're scared.
I think they do. They cut the sleeping giant off at the feet.
Right. That's one of them right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's just, they're scared. I'm not scared. They're scared. They're so scared. Look at them kicking me off all this stuff. They're scared.
Oh, they're terrified.
They're scared. It's
terrified that their revenue streams are going to disappear.
It's
terrified that people are no longer going to buy air filters.
This isn't the action of a scared organization. The not doing it is the action of a scared organization.
Right.
The doing it is the action of people trying to do what they should have done a while ago. Again, that's just going to keep coming up. It's just people like responding appropriately to someone who's abusive publicly.
8 years too late.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, eight.
What?
Maybe that is right.
2015, he's already encapsulated all the worst parts of him. So what would you say? I mean,
I think
even in 2009, he probably said
some value. I still think there's some free speech defense value in Alex from like the 2013-2014 episode.
But now we're going to find out in the 2009 investigation if it should have happened 9 years ago.
I don't necessarily think that just being a racist is enough to get you kicked off something. You know what I mean?
Like, should it be?
Well, Facebook and YouTube, I mean, it's their decision.
Yeah.
But again, if you do make that your decision, I mean, I don't want that to have a voice anywhere. I would rather it didn't.
Right.
But if you make that decision, then you put yourself in a very precarious position where now racism gets you kicked off of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, whatever.
Right.
You're going to have to purge so much content.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like you're going to lose all this content. I mean, I'm saying, again, it's what I keep coming back to. It's a matter of logistics as opposed to, morality.
I mean, at the same time, though,
how would you do it appropriately?
Right, but by definition, wouldn't racism be considered a hate speech?
Yeah. Well,
there's really kind of no other way to view it, just by the act of saying that one race is lesser.
Yeah. I think that the standard probably should be active hate speech.
Active
hate
speech. Does
that make sense? You know, like, active racism constitutes hate speech.
Gotcha.
Like, stuff that is actionable. Like someone having a conversation about black people having lower IQs or something like that. Something stupid. Like they've read the bell curve and they want to expound on it or something like that. I don't necessarily think that, I think that's racist for sure, but I don't think that's hate speech.
That's just stupid speech.
Exactly. And a lot of Alex's racism does fall under that category.
That's true.
But then there's also another aspect of his hate speech that we've seen on a number of occasions where it's active racism. And there is an aspect of it that implies action towards particularly Muslims.
Yeah.
There is a part of it that's like, it's not it's not your grandpa saying shit on a chair in the, in the living room. It's someone yelling, we need to save Western civilization from
all
these Browns that are around and stuff like that. I think that there's a line there, but again, the idea of implementing that line is so weird to me. I don't know what to do with that. And I'm glad I don't have to decide.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I'm glad that we can just do a podcast and talk about Alex Jones and not have to wrestle with those things and have literally zero qualms about the idea of Alex deserved everything that happened to
him. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's not a free speech issue.
Hey, but only 45% of Republicans think that Trump should be allowed to close any and all media outlets he doesn't like. At the same time, of course, they are staunchly against Alex Jones being kicked off of anything because of free speech laws.
Oh, and you know what the other thing, too, was I wanted to talk about this story that I read the other day. It's about, you know, Alex loves his states' rights shit.
Yeah.
I was reading this article on Democracy Now. It's, quote, Donald Trump's EPA announced that it will freeze Obama-era fuel economy standards at 2020 levels. The U.S. was on track to reach an average of 55 miles per gallon by 2025, but now the industry will not have a real incentive to do better than 30. Interestingly and probably and very problematically for Alex Jones and the entire libertarian world, it's also being reported that, quote, the Donald Trump administration also plans to revoke California's authority to set its own tougher automobile emission standards.
Right.
So
states' rights.
Why?
Well, the federal government has a right to regulate the states.
Why?
And that's because of states' rights.
No, but I mean, like, what? How can Alex claim in any way that Trump gives a fuck about states' rights?
Well, it's the states' right to be regulated by the federal government.
It's crazy to me. Like, it's crazy. You read stories like that, and I know they happen pretty frequently, but that one was just such a in-your-face
hypocrisy.
Yeah. That I can't. I mean, Alex will never talk about that.
That's true.
But it's like,
so many of them are kind of ignoring that aspect of it.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're finally kicking it to California, the state that
we
shouldn't
think
have
climate change is a hoax.
Right.
And we hate California. So let's not talk about this story. Let's move on to things that sound.
Man, people are really starting to get that climate change is an issue. 30 years too late to do anything about it.
Some people got it early.
Yeah.
Oil companies.
Oh, yeah, they did know about it.
They paid to tell people to say the opposite.
Isn't it weird how capitalism works?
Weird. We'll get into more of that later, too. But in this next clip, Alex made the mistake, I would say, of going and checking out his YouTube channel after it had been kicked off. And he found something there that he did not appreciate.
A big middle
finger?
Punch
up where the Alex Jones channel used to be before the globalist Death Star blew it up. And on the tombstone, they put Saturday Night Live. They put other so-called fake news comedy shows up there, and they put BuzzFeed.
Those aren't fake news show comedy shows.
Can we punch that up? Because I was asking during the break for it.
They're just regular
when
comedy
you go
shows.
Where our YouTube used to be, you see that they've said this account has been terminated for violating YouTube's community guidelines. The community, a bunch of shadowy leftists from the Democratic Party, openly brag. Put it back up, please. Openly brag that they're going to shut us down. They run around for months doing it, lying and false flagging.
Why you wanna give me the run around?
In a true sense, making up stuff I never did.
Nope.
No.
And then on the tombstone, they say, here's channels that are related, which of course is a total
lie. Oh, did they
lie.
Put up our channel? No. Damn.
BuzzFeed. The Tonight Show. The Late Show. With Stephen Colbert, Saturday Night Live, all the leftist garbage. So they piss on our grave.
You know why they did that, Alex? I would say 40% of your videos have any of those places' names in the title. I would suggest it's probably the algorithm that's like, wow, he posts about BuzzFeed all the fucking time. That must be a related channel.
That's true.
Oh, my God. He has like a back and forth beef going with Steve Colbert. Colbert. They must be in some way related as channels. I'm going to guess that's an oversight of just mechanization.
Yeah.
Automation.
I am going to go with that is a little bit insulting.
Well, but only because I think Alex did it to himself. I don't think this is a, like you said, a big middle finger, because he also doesn't say the other channels that are on there.
Right.
That are just no name channel. I have no idea what they are. But there were like two as he was scrolling through the related channels, and I'm like, What do you want to, bring up what that is?
ASMR videos, actually.
Oh, could be. Yeah. Going to sleep, hypnosis videos.
There's nothing more antithetical to Alex Jones than an ASMR video.
Oh my God. I found a YouTube.
Why am I saying video all the time? Who am I?
I don't know. I found a YouTube channel last night that I am so conflicted about. So I was watching videos.
Irish people not reacting to
that would be amazing.
No. Stoic Irish people.
So I was watching a couple videos of people eating really hot stuff.
Right.
And I ended up on this channel that I don't want to say their name because I feel like I don't know.
We'll contact them and see if they want to sponsor the show.
I don't give a shit. I don't think they're doing this anymore. They're called the Crude Brothers, and I'd never heard of this.
Okay.
It was a dad and his son, and they would eat like hot peppers and all this stuff. Now here's the.
I don't like the name. If you're a dad and a son, you can't call yourself the Crude Brothers.
There's a part of it that I think is incredibly charming because it's clearly a dad and a son who like each other. And,
yeah.
You know, the kid's like 13.
Yeah, and we all hope for that, especially you and me.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's something really endearing about it, but at the same time, I'm like, this kid's got to get beat up all the fucking time.
Ooh.
He makes all these YouTube videos with his dad doing weird stuff.
How old is he?
He's 13.
Oh, that's too young.
Yeah.
That's too young.
And I also think it's child abuse. I know I'm drawing a real fine line here, but they did one that I watched that it was like a roulette wheel with hot peppers on it.
Ooh, that's no good.
And so the dad spins and he gets bell pepper. He has to eat an entire bell pepper.
That's no big deal.
The kid spins, 13 years old, gets Carolina Reaper.
Jesus!
The hottest pepper in the world.
Jesus!
Kid eats it.
And then died.
No, I was very worried for him. Took it like a champ.
Okay.
Just sitting there like... But I'm like, you are the dad. You are the dad here. You're sitting here munching on a red bell pepper while your kid's eating a fucking Carolina Reaper.
That's true. There should have been somebody who stepped in before that.
Because
you can't give legal consent at 13?
No.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous.
No, that's awful.
I was watching this. I'm like, their mom is dead. Like the mom in this situation.
Or he's a divorced dad.
Yeah, one of the two. Yeah. There is no mom here. They would never allow
that's
this.
That's such a weekend dad, like 3 a.m. wake your kid up and be like, we're eating peppers tonight. Ah!
Right. I was watching this. I was not enjoying it that much, although I was impressed by this kid. This kid is a trooper. But it was like, I was so confused. Like, how is this allowed? Not like I want to stop them necessarily, but like...
Well, it's protected by the First Amendment.
If they have a sibling or the mom is anywhere, like, someone should have put the brakes on this. Man, I don't know why I brought that up, but...
Or at least a disclaimer, maybe?
They do a disclaimer that under 18, you shouldn't eat this stuff.
Sweet.
But that doesn't help the fucking kid.
No.
The kid who's actually eating.
You're under 18. You shouldn't be doing this. Hell, he shouldn't be doing this.
It was really hilarious, too, because then the dad got, like, jalapeno, and then the kid got ghost pepper.
God damn it.
The kid had to eat all of the really hot stuff.
It was a scam. It was a scam.
The
dad just
used
it. Yeah.
I was actually concerned about that on some level that I'm like, this dad, is it a prank video
this
where the
dad knows how to cheat?
Kid?
Yeah, he knows how to cheat.
If it is, then I'm back on board.
Nothing a dad loves to do more than embarrass his child.
I was super worried for that kid too. Like, I can't even imagine the bullying.
He's okay.
Seemed like he had a good head
He's
on his
okay.
shoulders. Seemed delightful.
He's all right. He's got a good father-son relationship. That'll take you far in life.
Oh, I've just pulled up an article. There was a murder-suicide.
Oh, no!
No.
Which direction?
I'm making that up. Alex knows that he needs some sort of self-defense here. He needs a plan.
Yeah.
What he does, he comes up with a perfect plan.
Okay.
China regulates U.S. conservatives. You know what? They can't stop you because AI doesn't know how to understand memes.
Nor love.
And everyone must make memes about Apple and Google being Chinese run. And everyone must lift InfoWars up as a standard to be defended and saved. There's a hashtag that Millie Weaver decided to put out. Hashtag
so we know
free InfoWars
work.
That's trending in the top of Twitter. Fight them.
You know how well that free Milo hashtag worked when Milo got kicked off.
Worked great. They did it.
He's back.
He's 100%.
He's not. He's still gone. And also, everyone was dunking on Millie Weaver earlier because she was she made a post about how Facebook is a public company, and posted a screenshot of, the Wikipedia page of Facebook
saying that
it says type of business public. And her post was, "Dear libtards who think Facebook is a privately owned business, there's a thing called fact-checking. Facebook is a public business that's publicly traded. Using that argument to justify banning Alex Jones doesn't work. And if anyone's confused by that, read a book." But also, the reason, it's not about being publicly traded. It's about being in the public or private sector.
Yeah.
Those are very different things. One of them involves the government. The other doesn't.
True.
So.
Although that raises the question of, should she have been correct?
Are you saying she is the female pronoun, or she is a she?
No. Should Facebook, however, be considered a public utility at this point?
That's a whole other conversation to have.
I think that's what she was trying to get to.
But I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that she was trying to get to the federal government should regulate Facebook, because that it holds perfectly with her beliefs.
Facebook doesn't have a monopoly on social networking because there are other sites like Twitter that do very similar things.
True.
That allow you to do very similar things. Additionally, we've already talked about this. Gab exists.
I know.
There are other weirdo social networking sites that have tried to make it, and you know what? The market's not there for them.
I was being facetious.
I understand that, but I'm just saying this because it bears repeating.
I was kind
YouTube
of being
is not
facetious.
A monopoly either, because there are other video trading sites out there in the world. As far as I know, Alex hasn't been banned from Vimeo.
But
he hasn't been Daily Motion. He could get on there. Any of these other places. Now, you could say, but they don't have as many people there. You're not entitled to a ton of people looking at your shit. If you are as popular as you think you are, you go over to Daily Motion. Those people should follow you. You should be able to elevate Daily Motion then.
At the same time, that's like saying that AT&T and Comcast are not monopolies in their field. There is an argument to be made about once you reach a certain market share, you are essentially operating as a monopoly.
No.
Oh.
The reason is because the issue comes down to essentially the monopolies that you're talking about there in terms of utilities have to do, as I understand it, largely with, the ability to bilk small towns and charge them exorbitant rates because you're the only person who has pipes that go to them.
Right.
Or the only person who has electronic poles that go to them.
Corporations are not a person.
Right, but that sort of
thing. Well, legally they are.
You can't have a monopoly in a market because if you do, then you can price gouge for electricity. And the sky's the limit, and if these people don't have electricity, then they're going to be in trouble. The government has to step in to regulate that sort of thing, or else you're in serious trouble. In the same way with like Xfinity or RCN cable here in Chicago, it's the access to the internet, not things on the internet itself, that are important as a utility.
Yes.
Having a website with a lot of people at it, that's not...
This is an off-air argument.
It's not. It's not. It is part of his argument that's incredibly stupid. If you're a libertarian, it's incredibly stupid.
I agree if you're a libertarian.
He shouldn't even want these laws in terms of, like, electricity monopolies.
That's true. I respect that if you're a libertarian, that is a stupid argument and you should never be making it. However, as somebody who would like to eventually become dictator of America... I have to say that I would be a great one, and I would regulate Facebook as a public utility.
Now, here's the issue. I would, too.
Fair enough.
No, I do think that there is an aspect of it, but it has nothing to do with Alex.
Right.
Like,
it has nothing
to do with that.
Oh, no, agreed.
It has to do with just the unlimited potential for screwiness that a company like that possesses.
Yes.
It doesn't have to do with them even being a monopoly necessarily. I think the version of regulation you'd have to bring into it is something else that is, you are essentially creating a nuclear bomb. You're creating a different version of a nuclear bomb, but it has the same destructive capability with all the data mining that you're doing.
True.
All of that sort of thing. And it,
just, as Cambridge Analytica proved.
Absolutely. And as a public safety measure, I'm not sure if our society is ready to allow that to grow any further.
That's a good point.
Now, I don't know what you do with that. I'm not in government. I don't have to come up with those answers.
Again, we should really be ticked. We should. Okay. Here's the thing. You will be my policy man.
Wonk.
Because you're measured and
I don't want that.
Reasonable.
That's right? So much responsibility.
And I'll be the front man. I'll be the wackadoo cat who throws
Griff?
Out all kinds of
Wait,
stuff.
Wait, not Professor Griff. No. Chuck D.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Alex will be our Professor Griff. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very difficult question, and I had hoped not to get into that at all because it bleeds so much into Alex's version of his complaints about, like, they have a monopoly of the marketplace,
right.
The public
right.
square, and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think those arguments are stupid, but I do think that you should probably, all things being equal, not allow these companies to become bigger than they are, or even were past the point where they should have reached.
They should be broken up. But
the idea that they accumulate more things, like Instagram being bought by Facebook, Periscope with Twitter, that sort of thing, is troubling.
Unacceptable. Right. Yeah. But that does point to the greater argument that is, evergreen, which is that these guys are always against any kind of regulation or curtailing of, you know, until it happens to them.
Yeah.
In which case they're like, hold now, you need to make sure that these people can't do this shit to us. Like, it always happens that way.
That's true. I will give Alex one small tip of the cap that he is pretty consistently against the idea of monopoly capitalism. And so I'll give him that. But he's principally not against the idea of monopoly in terms of, like, social power. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I see what you're
so
saying.
He's so threatened by the idea of disenfranchised groups being treated as equals that it rings false to me when he's like, these companies can't be monopolies.
Right.
It's like, well, apply that logic elsewhere.
You would think.
Yeah. So, Alex, I told you that Alex had his first sort of volley was, this is the China comms. It's the Chinese.
Yep.
They're to blame.
It was a good start.
And then he comes in this next clip with a new sort of version of what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's weaker.
The real reason Apple, Facebook, Spotify, and YouTube banned InfoWars on the same day on 8-6.
86
this
on
is
8-6.
What election meddling looks like. Just as Congressman Gates and others have pointed out, it is a donation in kind. Violating the federal election laws, the Democrats are on record saying, we own Facebook, we own Twitter. Their executives saying, we're going to crush conservatives. And then they treat the conservative members of the House and Senate like bumbling hayseeds.
So it's a donation. Indeed. It's a donation in kind.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't really.
Also, I don't remember any executives from Facebook ever publicly saying, we're going to crush conservatives.
No, in fact.
I can only think of them enabling conservative voices far beyond what they should be enabling.
No, it's because they said it privately at Bilderberg meetings. And
and then it became public.
And some weirdo told Alex they said it.
That sounds right.
Some Daniel Estulin type gave them a quote.
Of course.
I don't know. I think that's soft. I talk about it more, but I don't really have any more thoughts on it.
Week 10.
And I want to get to this next clip.
Let's do it.
Because he's mad about that video of cross-dressing, cross-dressers dancing, and kids being around. We talked about this 100 times.
Right. This was a long time ago though.
Right. But he talked about it again, and he said some really fucked up, gross things. And that was one of the videos that got kicked off the first round with YouTube.
Of course.
And so he decides to get defensive about it in this clip.
Smart move.
And then it goes to a profoundly weird place. This is a mic down clip.
Local news showed it too. They said it was a good thing. Little kids coming up with men dancing on stripper poles dressed like women and little kids putting money in their G-strings. If I saw little kids doing that at a heterosexual thing, I'd be freaked out by it.
Alex did a 13-episode series on toddlers and tiaras.
By it. They called that bullying the transsexual folks. So.
Also, I want to say this really quick. If you saw the video that Alex is super, like, up in arms about, and you think it's sexual, that's on you. You're the one who's making it sexual.
So, we're gonna take 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, we're gonna have them pole dance, or have them give my people pole dancing, and we're gonna sexualize your kids, and, you know, we're gonna try to make sure they have a sex operation by 10, and if you don't let us do that, we're gonna ban you off the internet. Because you hate transsexuals. I'm sure most people that are into that actually don't want to make kids have surgeries and stuff. So don't go out to events and have kids being sexualized. That is standing up for basic humanity. I mean, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Did it exist? It's in the Old Testament. The people come to the door and they go, let us have sex with those men you just brought in. And it's angels. Or I guess, you know, the Enterprise and had Captain Kirk and Spock beam down, and they thought they were good looking. Point is these guys had beamed down, and if you believe the Old Testament, still pretty wild science fiction, huh? They're like, "Want to have sex with those dudes? They look good." And they're like, "No, you can't." They're like, "We're gonna kill you." That's what people were experiencing thousands of years ago in cities that got a little wild. And all I'm saying is that whether that was real or not, that's what's happening now today.
Boy, he stopped that story at the wrong point. Boy, that story has a very important lesson about how the Bible is fucking bullshit in it.
Ronnie, you teach the children.
Oh, well, you know, that story is correct so far as what he was saying. Yes, people did come. People did knock on the door and say, "Let us rape these angels."
Uh-huh.
And the father said to them, "No, you cannot rape these angels. However, what you can rape is my daughters! Hooray! Go ahead and rape those underage girls!"
That's not sexualizing children.
Weird. Also, 2 and 3 year olds do not have the upper body strength to, pole dance in any fashion.
That's a good point.
That's the only issue I really take with that clip.
Except for
the upper body strength and tone.
The cherry picking of biblical lessons,
Boy, did he get that one as wrong as you possibly could.
Also, the weirdly believing it's real, or Star Trek, and then also the-
That would have been a great episode of Star Trek if they just beamed him down into that specific place, and Spock and, Captain Kirk are the two angels, and then they just stand there and they're like, "This is a weird fucking place. We have a policy of non-intervention because of the whole thing, but
that would
that
would imply that Sodom and Gomorrah would have had to have been a like extra star system civilization, right?
Oh yeah,
it would have
absolutely
to be a level 3 or whatever,
right? Oh yeah,
because they can't intercede.
Yeah,
dude, I don't know. I think the most important thing is that he's very clearly like underneath it all saying that cross-dressing and being trans is sin.
Evil. Yeah.
That's worthy of destruction of an entire city.
I suppose.
Just because you're there.
Hey, that God guy is great.
I mean, I know that's just like an implication of what he's saying, and it's like, "I didn't say I hate them." Like, well, that is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's deeply what you're saying.
You know, you can say something logically without saying it explicitly.
Right. You don't
Do
need to use the
words. Do people not understand that?
I don't think Alex does.
Like logic is math, and it follows along a conclusion that you are making,
right,
which implies that certain things must be true along the way,
yep,
regardless of whether or not you say from a position,
that's a basic
this is true
language, bro.
Yeah, it's kind of how it works.
Yep. So at this point, I know we, in our out of context drop, we heard that,
yes,
Alex is not scared.
He's not scared at all.
Although I will say,
so long as you buy air filters.
This next clip leads me to believe that he's a little bit scared because he's turning this into a much bigger deal than it may be in terms of the world.
I don't think President Trump has been compromised, but he's compromising himself one way or the other if they don't make this the central issue. This is the central issue. This is the heart of the matter. This is the core. This is it. They're making their move now. I'm quite honored I've been chosen as the first they want to take out. You always take out the biggest and the strongest up front. But I want to see you rally and defeat this. Newswars.com. Spread those links. Newswars.com. They can't stop you.
So Trump is sold out if he doesn't get Alex back on Facebook.
Which he won't.
No, not a chance.
Is this when Alex...
And they would take no political capital whatsoever, like, I don't think, in terms of the other shit he's doing.
No.
Like, I think that would be a drop in the bucket for him to just be like, well, actually, it wouldn't work. It would be embarrassing for all parties involved.
Oh, yeah.
Because he would tweet, "Get Alex Jones back on Facebook," and then Facebook would be like, "Great, we're not going to do that."
Yeah.
So, yeah, never mind. It would
that
be a
is,
huge disaster.
Is this the moment where Alex finally realizes that Trump has in no way got his back?
This might
like
lead to
0% back.
In his head, it might lead to the on the cross moment, "Why have you forsaken me?"
Okay.
Moment. It
okay
might lead to that.
Right.
But in reality, he's not on the cross.
He just doesn't care.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
The guy you think cares does not care. He's
no,
a psychopath.
No.
And you're an idiot if you think otherwise.
You got fooled by a lot of dudes.
Man, con men get so conned.
Yep. It's kind of part of the business. So in that last clip, that I feel like he's scared because he's turning this into a Trump, you need to make this the biggest issue in
right
the world. which it's absolutely not. But in this next clip, he actually talks about something he's scared of. And I'll say-
Bees.
That's me. I'm scared of bees.
My Girl?
No.
Is he just, scared of the movie My Girl?
He's scared of My Girl 2. Terrible sequel.
Is that- wait, there was a sequel?
Don't worry about it. He's scared of something else.
Okay.
But, I would sum this next clip up just to say Alex needs to go to therapy.
Islamophobia. That's just some word that academics came up with, like homophobia. And yeah, I'm actually scared of going to an Islamic country. I know they're most dangerous. The State Department says most of them you can't go to. I mean, are you scared to go to Somalia? They say the average Westerner lasts 5 minutes before being kidnapped.
What?
Yeah, I'm Islamophobic. It's true. Radical Islamophobic. Sure. It just says he's transphobic, Islamophobic, and bullies children. Bullies children.
All of those things.
My ex-wife had me in court last Friday with an injunction to try to take my children.
Ooh.
And, of course, the judge denied it because the judge was, like, looking at the videos going, what's the bullying?
Mm.
And she went, denied. And my ex-wife would, like, hold up headlines. Jones guilty of child endangerment. And we're like, that's just because BuzzFeed says it, lady, don't mean it's true. Like, it's like Moses is BuzzFeed up there. BuzzFeed says drinking milk is racist. It's all about dehumanization. It's all about just getting people to not care and be nihilistic. It's a weapon system against the country. But that's what I'm dealing with, is just the left's derangement.
All I hear there is you need to talk to somebody. This is bad. Like, you're rambling about Kelly and your child custody case, but you don't want to be, you know, you have these, like, I can't say too much on air, but that was too much even.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the clip started out with, like, yeah, I'm Islamophobic. I'm scared of Muslims. I'm radically Islamophobic. He's trying to say that he's scared of radical Islam,
but he's not
actually saying I'm radically afraid of Muslims.
All of it.
Right. And it's like, dude, you need to go and feel better. You
are
not.
5 minutes.
What?
5 minutes is how long the average American lasts.
Oh, totally.
In Somalia without being kidnapped.
I did a lot of research into Somalia. I was going to do a long, reading. About
the history
of Somalia and why it might not be great there. The idea that they've been in a civil war for 30 years.
No,
that has to do with U.S. backing.
Kidnapping and it's Islam. Islam says kidnap Americans.
That's absolutely why.
I remember that in the Quran whenever I read that.
It has nothing to do with their median age being 18 years old.
Oh, come on.
Life expectancy is 20 years shorter than it is in America.
That sounds crazy.
Infant mortality rates are 10.
I can't imagine
Extreme
why.
Poverty is through the roof.
Definitely doesn't have anything to do with Western nations.
Maybe
I'll tell you that right now.
30% of the population has access to water
you
regularly.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I think Somalia is maybe justified in kidnapping any American that lands on Somalia soil.
I don't know about justified, but you get it.
Yeah.
Like,
you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not justified. Absolutely not justified.
Because again, our government is not our people in the same way that Russia's government is not the Russian people, but
the government
you totally
isn't the
get
people
it.
Kidnapping them though.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with like in South America, they have rashes of kidnapping gangs because it's a robust economy. Have you ever watched that documentary, Mandabala?
Uh-uh.
It's a great documentary where this guy ended up going and hanging out with kidnap gangs.
Yeah.
And talked to them about, like, you know, that whole economy. It's incredibly fucked up. Like, they don't necessarily... I don't want to spoil anything. Everyone should go watch Mandabala.
Okay.
And then also go watch Morrowind Call, the other best documentary I've ever seen. So good.
Yeah, it is interesting that,
by the way, Morrowind Call has nothing to do with kidnapping.
I'm not.
It's a completely different documentary, but just very awesome.
It is interesting how the black market capitalism is, perhaps a better indicator of the, just pure carnivorous energy of capitalism entirely, where it has no qualms. It is all market driven.
Well, it was only a few years ago. In the grand scheme of things, that part of the free market
that
and capitalism.
The dinosaurs existed?
Well, a little after that.
Okay.
The free market and capitalism involved selling humans, like, on a massive scale. Now, granted, there are still pockets of that, and white slavery still exists as well. Like, there are still remnants of that, but that used to be a above board business that major countries were involved in as an economy.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, absolutely. The crueler and harsher parts of capitalism still exist in black marketplaces, but it's because
they're no longer in regular marketplaces.
Exactly.
It is kind of interesting how strange it really, it is kind of strange for white people to be like, oh, kidnapping is evil, and they make you work, and they don't pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's crazy. That's just wrong. And let me tell you something. We would never do that now. We had a lot of years of doing it. It was great. We made a lot of money.
If you have any slight grasp on history, then you can't be confused by it, because the reason that people did that back then, beyond just not giving a shit about the lives of the people that they kidnapped and put into slavery, is because of the economic benefits that they gained from it. So the idea that there are these kidnapping gangs, whether it's in Somalia or in South America, the idea of it is that it's an economic system that works for these people that don't have any other access to a working economic system. I'm not saying it's justified. I'm not saying it's good. But if you don't understand why it's happening and you don't look at the root cause of it as opposed to just stopping it by killing people, then you're an idiot. You're just...
Yeah.
I mean, what...
No. Right on.
Cool.
You coob.
So in this... This next clip was very tough for me because, as longtime listeners of the program know, I don't talk about this all too often, but the reason we ended up starting this podcast is that I watched InfoWars election night coverage.
Yeah.
And I got a glimpse into the dark heart of,
all of these evil people.
Right. Primarily what I saw, just the brief version of it, is a lot of white people, mostly white men, and then Millie Weaver. And I think Leanne McAdoo might have been there,
white man in training.
So they're all hanging out, drinking champagne, and Owen Schroyer smoking a cigar in the studio, and they're aggressively laughing at videos of very diverse crowds at Hillary rallies. You'd see people of all sorts of ethnicities, men, women, people who are very clearly queer identifying, people, trans individuals at these rallies, and they were laughing at them because they were crying.
Yeah.
And it, really brought into sharp focus the fact that this is not a conspiracy show. This isn't a show that's fun.
It's a cruelty show.
It's a cruelty show, and it's also, so much about whiteness. And that sort of supposition, hypothesis, has been borne out in every single trial, that we've done.
Yeah.
Every single episode backs that up. At least to some extent.
And every single tier has been proven justified.
And so, when I was listening to this episode of Alex on the eighth here, when he got 86th on the 86th.
It's a good line.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I wanted to say it to see how it feel coming out of my mouth.
It felt
pretty
good. Didn't,
pretty good.
Yeah. It was a good line.
So when I was watching this, I expected him to be freaking out and being like, the globalists are out for blood. And so far, we haven't really heard any of that.
No, we haven't. It's been about China.
It's all about blaming China and then trying to make these weak-ass arguments about, like, this is a violation of FEC laws or something.
Sure.
Campaign contributions.
Sure.
He's trying to work some sort of game when he doesn't realize that he's up against it. And part of that might be because at this point, MailChimp hadn't ditched him, so he still had his probably incredibly huge email list that he could still use to blast out shit to. And so maybe panic hadn't set in entirely and he wasn't freaking out the way he probably
should be.
Would normally.
Yeah.
But what I never expected was him to bring up the election night, because it's such a turning point for my life. You know what I mean? Like, this show is my life in many ways.
Yeah.
Researching it, doing this show, studying Alex Jones has become, like, the last 2 years of my life is so different than what came before it. And even the last year has been different than the first year.
Yeah. 'Cause
I was struggling in that first year, just like outside of the show, to figure out, like, what is going on.
Yeah.
I'm taking in too much information. I didn't have a way to synthesize it fully yet.
Right.
And so for him to talk about, on the day he's being kicked off all of these platforms, the very moment that was so transformative for me almost made me cry all over again.
Yeah.
Like, listening to this, I got very, like, ugh, And so we'll listen to that clip, and we'll see what you think.
Now that you see America coming back to life, you are pissed, and you think if you can cut my head off, you've done something and won't make me a martyr by demonizing me. America sees through you. Trump didn't hurt children coming across the border. He helped them.
Bah!
Trump didn't say Mexicans were all rapists and criminals. You said that about him.
Bah!
I didn't say the things you said. I said about the Sandy Hook parents, and I sure as hell didn't lie about WMDs in Iraq.
Bah! Actually, he didn't lie about that.
No, but that's his, like, sort of cherry on top of, like, okay, fair point.
Yeah. You lie. You two truths and a lie.
He brings that up all the time to give himself cover for the lies that
he
has
said. Or two lies
said.
And a truth, I suppose.
So, like, and all that, all that's crazy. We don't even need to get to that.
Nope.
Other stuff is way more important.
You know, that is a point that should be made and then summarily dismissed. That we are dancing on his misfortune.
We're not.
No, but so many people are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that is an interesting question to ask about whether or not we are engaging in the same kind of behavior that
I take no pleasure from this. I mean, I know we popped
a
bottle
bit.
Of champagne.
Well, that's kind of
it was good fun.
It was good fun.
It doesn't tickle me the fact that Alex has been kicked off stuff. I mean, and we look at like
at the same time, the point is his rights aren't being taken away.
No.
A Supreme Court justice that's going to allow Trump to pardon himself for the crimes that he's committed.
Most likely, yeah.
Is not going to happen because of him.
Yeah.
Because he got kicked off the fucking air.
So, the thing that I want to, like, in terms of, like, I don't find any interest in looking at what people are doing on Twitter or Facebook and then sort of amplifying that. Not saying, like, don't retweet things. But, like, if I see someone who, like, even if there's someone who has a voice and a lot of followers and they're making fun of Alex Jones, I don't think that that means that everyone is making fun of Alex Jones.
Right.
There are a lot of individuals on Twitter who are certainly. I think that the people primarily who cover Alex Jones most regularly are Right Wing Watch and Media Matters. Now, generally, Right Wing Watch is the source of clips that go out to Media Matters or go to places like, you know, Majority Report.
Yeah.
These web shows often take their clips from Right Wing Watch. And I don't think that they're necessarily relishing this or anything like that. There's no posts that are like, ha ha ha, or anything like that. But at the same time, I want to be very clear about this. We haven't finished the clip that we're listening to right now. We haven't gotten to what comes at the end of this episode. And I'll read you the headlines that they have for Alex Jones. Here, Spotify cancels The Alex Jones Show, Apple, Facebook, and YouTube dump InfoWars. That's the only headline on Right Wing Watch. And sure, that's the big news. That's the big news.
That's the big news.
Fair enough. On Media Matters, we have MailChimp confirms that it's terminated the accounts of Alex Jones and InfoWars. Alex Jones begs Donald Trump for help, which is a clip that we heard earlier.
Yep.
And does continue throughout this episode. Periscope still hosting video where Alex Jones pantomimed shooting Robert Mueller, which again, we already sort of talked about in the fact that it's owned by Twitter.
Yeah.
And if Twitter doesn't act, then Periscope isn't going to act. Tucker Carlson defends InfoWars and Alex Jones. Who gives a shit? Right-wing media defend Alex Jones after InfoWars is banned from several major platforms. Like, all of their headlines are about Alex, but they're
just news.
Yeah. There's nothing that's like, ha ha ha, you dumb prick, or anything like that. This is dry. And I honestly think that they're doing a disservice because you could dryly report some other things that I think are more important.
Yeah.
Like, he said, I'm an Islamophobe. I'm scared of Muslims.
Not enough clicks, Dan. Not enough clicks.
I feel like that would get some clicks.
You would think.
I don't know. I don't know how the business works. Clearly, we get the clicks that we get. Who knows?
Fair enough.
But let's finish this clip because I set it up with that long story about election night, and I don't want to let people forget what we're talking about.
I'm going to play the Trump promo that they really hate when we come back. But this is what they hate. You saw them on election night. You saw them freaked out. You saw them scared. You saw the disdain of the type of physically ugly people, too, that are liberals. I mean, that they just have a disdain for successful people, good-looking people, loving people, They're just a legion of scum. And they know it. But if they could just defeat America, if they could just defeat culture and society, if they could just beat the superiority of Western culture and ideas, then they could be somebody. But we've got to be out of the way. That's the nature of authoritarianism. It always picks groups that it thinks are superior to take out so it can be in charge. But it always starts the persecution with a little subgroup first. Now, if you want to send them a very strong message, plus everybody needs it, go to InfoWarsStore.com and get an InfoWars t-shirt.
Get a t-shirt. Motherfucker.
Physically ugly. Different from me is unattractive.
They always
want to take down groups that are superior. That they think are superior.
Right, right.
As opposed to that they think are fucking evil.
They should, and the implication there is they should know we're superior.
Exactly.
Everything in there.
The implication is that they do know we're superior.
Everything in there was such deeply coded language,
yeah.
But very, very fucking specific.
Yep.
The idea of what he's talking about, you saw them on election night. I watched your goddamn show on election night. I know exactly what you were watching on election night because you played it in the studio. And what it was a bunch of minorities crying. Bunch of minorities and white people mixed in too because it was a diverse group. And if you, sir, Mr. Alex Jones, sir, are saying tantamount of nothing, you don't know anything else about these people. Some of them are quite attractive. If you are saying these physically unattractive people, what you are responding to is that there's not enough white people there because it was a very diverse group and those white people should know better than to hang out with all these weirdos.
Yep.
That is all that's going on there. And it's so fucking crazy. It's so unacceptable that he's bringing this up. And then it's further very acceptable that it turns into a t-shirt ad.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you'd expect from
acceptable,
this piece of shit.
No, predictable, yes.
I accept it because that's all this guy's got.
That's true.
He's getting thrown off of every fucking platform he's on, and he can't stop doing the ad pivots. He can't stop doing the ad pivots. You're not on air anymore. You're not on YouTube. You're not streaming on anything but Periscope, you dumb prick. What are you doing? Who are you doing ad pivots to? Your radio audience in bumfuck Arkansas? Enjoy. Have at. I don't give a shit. I'm mad now. I'm actually mad.
I know, I love it.
I've rarely been mad on this show. I am furious at this guy.
I've rarely never interrupted you.
That's true. I didn't have to go for the prosthetic hand.
Nope.
It bums me out so much because it's such an invalidation of what you would hope is like an illustrative moment. You know, like you would hope that one day you could show Alex the video of election night and be like, hey, look at your crew and then look what you're doing. You know, you'd hope maybe one day he'd be able to come to terms with like what was really going on in his head, and he can't. He just uses the fear of the other in order to sell a shirt. It's all it's about. It's all this is. It's bigotry and shirts.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have neither.
Well, we had shirts for a while. We had two of them.
Literally.
We had two.
Not metaphorically two.
No. And not like we had two different versions. We had two shirts.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. Maybe I went too far there, getting a little bit,
God damn it, Dan.
Indulgent.
Come on. You have never gone too far.
Bums me out.
That was perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if he had just ended the clip in any other way, I probably would have like been screaming at you right now, like in a much more angry way.
Yeah.
But I think
the fact that he ended it in an ad pivot just deflates
everything.
Yeah. Cause I mean, then you're like, fuck, this is the same bullshit you're peddling. I can't even engage with your racist nonsense in a genuine way because you invalidated it immediately.
Yeah. It's kind of self degrading when you actually look at it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
He goes from like abject, infuriating behavior to pathetic behavior so fast that you're like, I hate you. And now you're pathetic. You're below my, you know, yeah. What's the point of even hating you?
My feeling on it is like, I want to get worked up and yell about it, but at the same time, because of the ad pivot at the end, any right-thinking person who heard that would be like, look at this dick.
Exactly.
And yeah. I know that any not right-thinking person isn't going to be convinced by me screaming about
right.
it. Right. But I had to let a little bit out. In this next clip.
I appreciate it, and so I think does everybody else.
In this next clip, I'm going to skip it because it's just Alex talking about how, like, hey, Owen Schroyer has a YouTube channel that we were streaming on. We didn't know we couldn't do it over there. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And all it illustrates is that Alex is on some level aware that he can make it really difficult for YouTube to enforce the rules that they've set down. And that's part of why I think it's a disaster to do this sort of thing, just from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's going to cheat. And now you have to look for other people cheating.
Right.
On his behalf.
Right.
That sort of thing. So if you actually don't want InfoWars content on YouTube, then you have almost a Herculean effort in front of
you. Yeah, you're going to have to scramble for everybody who hosts it on their own channel.
Any of his employees.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you have just the, we're going to take down these channels that have a lot of followers and wait for these other ones to get built up, then you're not doing much except sort of pushing them back the timeline
right.
a little
right,
or whatever.
Right, right, right.
The minor setback. And it's just a game of whack-a-mole, basically. The fact that
David Knight's shit is still allowed to be up is just a, like, no, just summarily ban InfoWars. Don't like, oh, David Knight is too boring for us to care.
I think
it is hilarious. It's very funny.
But I also think that David Knight is a much more restrained broadcaster.
Yeah, because he has nothing to restrain.
He sucks, and he's still as, you know, into all the white shit that Alex is that we talk about, but he would never say the stuff that Alex says.
I would like you to make a meme about how Alex should be.
That's
okay.
Coursey.
Oh, whatever.
That's a Coursey.
Whatever.
Impression.
It's the same fucking shit.
No, David Knight would not say that people were crisis actors or things like that. He wouldn't, I don't think he would do that. So maybe he gets a pass because Owen Schroyer is a young buck. And he is hungry for it, so he would probably go along with it.
Yeah.
Whereas David Knight's a little bit more of a, hey, I'm old, I'm chill. Also, I hadn't seen David Knight in a while. I watched a little bit of him accidentally because hour and a half through this show or so, maybe 2 hours in, Alex has to leave. So David Knight fills in for the rest of the show.
Oh,
he's lost some weight.
Oh, that's nice.
He looks good.
Great.
I hate
good
to say
you,
it, but
David Knight
looks good.
Good for you, David Knight.
He didn't look terrible as like a sort of pudgy older man.
Yeah.
But he's lost probably a good 20, 25 pounds. He fits a suit nice. I hate to say it, but David Knight, congrats, man. I don't hate it. Even if I hate what you do, I'm happy you're healthy. Can you imagine if Alex could fit a suit?
That'd be great. Ooh, man. Alex wearing a suit to work every day? That would be tough to handle.
Yeah. I mean, he wears a blazer usually, but the top button on his button-up shirt is undone.
Yeah. Got to get a little bit of that super male vitality chest hair out there.
Yeah. So back in the day, Alex Jones did look good, back when he was an athlete.
Right.
And in this next clip, he harkens back to those sorts of times in order to create a bizarre fantasy about what he thinks is going on.
I don't care at the end of the day, except for my crew members and people, about InfoWars. I've always said I'm giving us 110% until they wipe me out or we win. And if I get wiped out of the game, imagine you're in the end of the fourth quarter and you get, and you throw that touchdown pass and they take your knee out. You're already so exhausted. They put the new quarterback in. You sit back okay. and watch everybody win in sudden death overtime.
All right.
I mean, that's, I've come to disrupt these people. I've come to stop them. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to play patty cake. I'm not here to play games. But you read the danger of the headlines. Jones said Islamophobic things, bully children, and anti-transphobic or trans whatever.
Did all of those.
And
things.
They don't even show you what I said. That's total.
We totally
Hollywood,
have.
Berkeley speak, globalist speak, Soviet speak, EU speak. So everybody hears, ooh, hate speech. We can't tell you what it was. It was so bad. Don't
we
listen
can.
To it, though. I believe they've jumped the shark if you take action and tell everybody you know about InfoWars.com/show.
Still kind
and
of
the people
pivot.
Go check their spam filter because most of those will block InfoWars emails to you.
Don't worry
at the
about
library,
that now.
Tell people about it. At work, say, hey, regardless of what you think about Alex Jones, why don't you go hear for it yourself? And if you do hear.
And then he gets lost in thoughts about, he transitions into a completely different subject.
Yeah.
But look, dude, anyone who's telling anybody about InfoWars ain't at a library. So that you can just stop. The idea of like tell people at a library is not going
to
work.
Also, but, you to go from stopping traffic to tell people in a library, that is indicative of a huge fall.
Yeah. But the one thing I wanted to say is that like earlier in the show, I told you why the idea I think that dark money still would be interested in what Alex does.
Yeah.
And he sort of hints at it there a little bit. And then he says, what I'm here to do is disrupt them. That sort of thing. And I think that if we really take a step back and look at the bigger picture of what, while they're all con men, certainly, but a lot of the people that we talk about, I think Kerry Cassidy is less on this tip, but certainly Jim Baker and Alex Jones and
Baker may be even more of a con man than Alex.
Oh, he's a much bigger one. Absolutely. Yeah. And a much better resume.
Not as big as that, one horrible monstrous woman that he had on there. What was her
Paula
name?
Paula Kane.
Paula Kane. Yeah. Yeah. She might be the, she's the premier con man so far that we've had on our show, I think.
Well, she comes into this conversation perfectly because I think that even beyond the con, which is what we talk about, which is creating fear in order to sell things, more or less. If you want to break it down, that's the con that all these people are running.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, their primary function for someone else, like why someone else would invest in them, which I don't think anyone's investing in Kerry Cassidy, and that's why I keep her to the side a little bit.
No, yeah.
But the reason someone would give them secret money is because what they do, the primary function in terms of society, is to normalize ideas that we have already decided are repulsive.
That's true.
They create a scenario and a situation wherein Alex can get on air and say, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm afraid of Muslims. And then what?
Yeah.
He has brought that into the public sphere as an acceptable thing to say.
So you think it's all an Overton window kind of investment?
To some extent, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think that that is the entire game that's been played. That was the goal all along.
Right.
But I do think that if you look at what these particular people have done and you look at their careers over time, it seems like they're deeply invested in that sort of thing. Like the idea that Mike Cernovich went from Gamergate guy, pickup artist community guy, jumped over to Pizzagate, and then ended up as a Alex Jones disciple kind of character.
Yeah.
There is a through line through all of that in terms of like misogyny.
That's true.
And you could say that that's deeply entrenched in him. But the things that were going on in those different segments of his life, the only real thing that connects all of them is making really fucked up things not as fucked up. Fucked up accusations, like in terms of Pizzagate, saying that your enemies are pedophile demons.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
That's true.
In the Gamergate stuff, making threats and doxing and that sort of thing, just a part of the normal, like, cautionary things you have to deal with online.
Yeah.
And then with Alex, I mean, he's just playing the Alex game.
And you can absolutely see the escalation in that just from Gamergate was about a woman doing her job all the way to James Gunn getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's definitely become part of the Overton window for sure.
It's not a perfect, like path or anything like that.
No, no.
Trace or anything
like
that.
Yeah.
But I think that what we deal with the most, I think why social media is so awful is because a lot of those things are so normal now.
Yeah.
Whereas ideas that are being said in August of 2018, 5 years ago, would have been like, what?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
Well, and then you're absolutely right. When you take into account that 45% of Republicans want Trump to be able to just close down media outlets.
Yeah.
You have to take into account guys like Alex Jones who are insisting that you can't trust anybody in the mainstream media. You can't trust any of these people.
And they've lent their years of backstory towards the reinforcing of Trump's shutting down media, abusing immigrants, sort of policies.
All of which is fine. And you can't even, And at the same time, while it's being fine, you are still offended when somebody calls you a racist, even though your guy is putting together white nationalist policies.
Yeah. So I think that to me is the best explanation for why dark money would stick around, because Alex, like I've said many times, this world doesn't have someone else like Alex. Like, I know that it pains us so much to say how talented he is, but he is a talented guy when his head's in the right place.
Yeah.
You know, when he's not having to deal with 100 different distractions, he's really good at being a propagandist.
Yeah.
And he's charismatic and kind of funny from now and again.
Absolutely.
He's the meme machine.
Sure.
There isn't anyone else like him. Like, Posobiec can't handle that.
Absolutely
not. Cernovich can't even fucking handle
that. Good God, no.
Baked Alaska can't handle that.
I still don't think that's a person.
Sargon of Akkad can't handle that.
He actually can.
He can. Even Rogan can't handle that because he's not willing to.
Right.
Rogan isn't that, like, he is a big part of normalizing a lot of these things, but.
Yeah.
But he also is somewhat.
He doesn't toe the line.
Not their line, no.
Exactly. It's not like he is willing to just, like, drop it all and go line for line. This is what I'm going to say because this is part of what we're supposed to do.
Right.
He's going to have those people who do that on a show, and he's not going to do too much pushback. But at the same time, what he espouses
is
not going to be that line.
Now, at the same time, as unfair, not unfair, we've been very fair, but as critical of Joe as we've been in the past and deservedly, he still deserves a lot of criticism for having these people. Like, he had Peter Schiff on recently again, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But he had recently Dave Rubin and Candace Owens on, and both times he asked them, like, real pointed questions that they couldn't answer, and it led to really embarrassing video.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where Candace Owens and Dave Rubin were both on his show, not able to answer foundational questions about what they believe.
Right.
So,
because, like, they don't believe anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They just want to make fucked up things okay to say.
That's a good point.
And so Joe Rogan is kind of an unwitting accomplice in some of this, I think. Because if he was a witting accomplice, he could be doing so much more.
Right. He would be crushing it.
Oh, yeah.
Who is Candace Owens?
Candace Owens, she works for Turning Point USA.
Uh-huh.
She works with Charlie Kirk, who's another guy you probably don't know who he is.
I heard that Kanye was a fan of hers.
That's right.
That's how I know Candace Owens' name.
That's how she rose to prominence a bit. But before that, she was a celebrity in the alt-right community under the name Red Pill Black.
Sure.
Her beginning story was about she was a liberal. And
she a black woman?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And she was posting some videos.
So she's a huge get for the conservative community.
To some extent.
Yeah.
She's not.
Sorry to interrupt you again.
She's pretty good on her feet generally, and she has camera presence.
She's got some chops.
Yeah, for sure. But she's not, if questions get too hard, she's not really all that great. In the same way that I would say that about Dave Rubin. I would say that about even Jordan fucking Peterson.
Who's Dave Rubin?
Dave Rubin's, he used to be a liberal comedian. He worked for the Young Turks for a little while. Probably got fired. I have no idea what the truth of that story is. But now he's become a conservative comedian. He's a mess.
Don't understand those two words.
He has a show called The Rubin Report.
He is
a disaster.
Oof.
But he doesn't even rank in terms of, like, stuff we would want to cover.
Right.
Because he also, in the same way that I don't want to talk about, like, Bill Maher, even though I hate him.
Yeah.
I still give Dave Rubin a little bit of, like, that could have been a failed joke. And I don't want to sit here and relitigate your jokes.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make sense to me. So Candace Owens was, making these videos. And so she had also, before the videos, excuse me, I got my timeline a little off.
Sorry.
She was running a company, or she was trying to start a company, I believe it was on Kickstarter or something to that effect, of a company that would lead into doxing to some extent, where you would be able to find out the people who are harassing you and be able to deal with it. I don't remember the name of the company or anything like that, but she was doing this thing, and it was around the time of Gamergate. And so Zoe Quinn sent her a message.
Yeah.
That was to the effect of like, don't do this. This is the worst idea that you could possibly do. This will only get people to attack you.
Right.
You don't understand that what you're doing, while it sounds admirable, is the sort of thing that will completely blow up on these online communities, and they will go after you super hard.
So if I'm going to make a prediction with no knowledge of who she is or what happened, she went ahead with it, and then it blew up in her face exactly the way Zoe Nixon said it would.
Yep, Zoe Quinn.
All right, Zoe Quinn, sorry. I combined her with Cynthia Nixon for some reason.
And then, to make matters even worse, Candace Owens believed, and with no evidence that she's ever given publicly, she believes that Zoe Quinn and the Anita Sarkeesian...
is the reason that it happened, despite Zoe Quinn...
Gamergate were the ones who sicked all of these people on her.
Genuinely and heartfully saying, we want to protect you. Man, she is stupid.
I've read a bunch...
That is dumb!
I've read a bunch about both sides of this exchange. Like, yeah. I've read Candace's version, and I've read the other side. And there's really no way to look at it reasonably and not think that Candace is a flaming opportunist.
Yeah.
Like, it is... Her side of it makes absolutely no sense based on what you know of the internet.
Okay, so she essentially shook it off as being like, you know what? This is the world that I'm going to make money from, so I have to accept that people are going to be extremely assholish to me.
No, I think what happened probably was that in that same period of time, she probably got approached by, like, maybe she started getting attacked by these troll folk who don't like the idea of a business that would get in the way of their trolling and shit.
Right.
And I think that even doxing people who are, you know, monsters online, I still don't think that's the best way to deal with them. Like, I think that still could lead to death.
I still
think that is such a dangerous game
right,
to play.
Right.
That, like, you're opening up a can of worms that you can't possibly know what's gonna happen.
I've read a bunch of arguments on, like, the defense of shame being a powerful tool and that kind of stuff. And if you are in a community where you're dealing with people all the time, shame, I think, is a valuable tool. If you are in an anonymous community, shame winds up leading to fucking horrific shit.
Generally, when you have that anonymity, without your consent stripped away, there's a equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
I think that probably someone approached her and was like, "Hey, you know what? We could do something with this.
We could get a lot of money out of this."
Yeah, and maybe I don't know. I that's only a theory, but I don't know. From that point on, she became a figure of sort of a black Trump supporter.
Right.
Like a diamond and silk
again,
type.
A huge get.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, she posted a bunch of dumb videos. And maybe some of them aren't that dumb. I've only watched a few and I could only stand a couple minutes of it.
Pass.
Yeah.
Punt.
And then, Kanye West was like, I like the way she thinks. And then shit blew up.
Right. Cause Kanye's crazy.
Yeah. So that's her. Anyway, we gotta get on. She is an above average conservative based on, demographic.
Okay.
Utility.
I said it essentially the same, thing when I said she's a huge get. But man, somehow demographic utility is a really, that's a harsh.
That's part of my pivot game.
Yeah,
my transitions.
That was good stuff.
But in this next clip, Alex is going to talk about the average conservative.
Uh-oh.
And what they have to go through.
Oh, no.
Well, so far, only Tucker Carlson, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, some, and of
white
course Matt Rudge, big time.
White supremacists.
Have said, look. The left is trying to shut down Alex Jones. They're demonizing what he said and done. They're taking it out of context. But regardless, big tech organizes in a monopoly and tries to deplatform somebody everywhere, that is to set a precedent to do it officially to conservatives ahead of the midterms. Now, since they've got big sites now, and Congressman Gates reported on this 2 weeks ago, finally, we tried to get the info to him, that they have sites that track shadow banning. The average conservative, we put up the graph earlier, is shadow banned 93%.
That's unfortunate because he did put up a graph. And I was able to find out where that graph came from. And there are not sites that track shadow banning. That's not what he's talking about at all.
Yep.
Alex is basing this 93% number on an article he read on the Gateway Pundit with a headline that says, shock study, Facebook has eliminated 93% of the traffic to top conservative websites since the 2016 election.
Of course.
Alex clearly didn't read this article, which says, quote, in 2017, Harvard and Columbia Journalism Review found that the Gateway Pundit was the fourth most influential conservative news source in the 2016 election. Because of this, we were targeted and have seen our numbers related to Facebook and Twitter decline dramatically. In every single Facebook category, our numbers are down. In page visits, our numbers were skyrocketing before the election. Then, in three distinct periods, our numbers were cut off. That had nothing to do with the quality of our posts, as we have proof that our generic numbers are up and continue to increase. In all statistical categories provided to us by Facebook, our current numbers are below their linear projections of what we should be. In February, Facebook launched another algorithm change to their platform. With these changes, we saw our traffic dwindle even further. We weren't the only ones affected. The algorithmic change caused President Donald Trump's engagement on Facebook posts to plummet a whopping 45%. In contrast, according to Breitbart, someone at Breitbart, Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders do not appear to have suffered a comparable decline in Facebook engagement.
Weird.
Unfortunately, around the specific times he's talking about, those were the times that Facebook purged tons of fake accounts and bots. So the idea that you're getting less traffic is probably because of less automated activity on those social media platforms. What you're doing is basically putting out a study where you own yourself a little bit. You play yourself out. Because if, like, legitimately, if there was a 93% drop in their traffic coming from Facebook and Twitter, what you would hear is a unbelievable outcry from the people that were looking for it and isn't there now.
Yeah.
Like 93% of the people who previously were all about Gateway Pundit, now no Gateway Pundit, it would be crazy huge. Now these people complain a lot. Don't get me wrong. They make a lot of noise, but it's certainly not proportionate to 93%
right.
of your audience has now been cut off. There
93%.
Isn't the audience being, the audience isn't concerned about it. You are. And I think on some level, you know, it's because that was fake traffic to begin with. So Alex's only source on this, and I know it because of that image of the graph that he flashed up on screen, is a study that Gateway Pundit did that followed the traffic from Facebook for a number of websites, awful ones like Breitbart, Daily Caller, and Gateway Pundit, as well as some that you've never heard of, like one called 100% Fed Up.
Never heard of that.
And the only thing that this study shows is that they have dropped considerably in Facebook engagement. Now, if that's true, and we trust the stats that they're not necessarily authenticating but citing, they put the numbers of what we're supposed to believe. And if that's true, I'll go ahead. I'll stipulate that those numbers are true. I would say that you guys had a real good run in the 2016 election for a weird reason. And maybe your numbers are coming back down to where they should have been based on the quality of your clearly not true reports.
I can't think of any reason that they would have had a massive influx of fake bots during the 2016 election.
Well, I mean,
there's just no reason I can think of.
One of the examples that they use is Breitbart, and there was that Vanity Fair article that very clearly pointed out the sharp uptick in traffic to Breitbart and then sharp drop almost to the exact same point as if there was a complete fake engagement campaign.
Hmm.
And you have to assume
who would want to do that?
I don't know.
Who with the resources and the know-how would want to influence the traffic to these sites? I can't think of anybody.
Total mystery.
I cannot think of anybody.
Total mystery.
Completely blindsided by this information, Dan.
Speaking of total mysteries, we now get to a guest.
Oh, there's a guest?
I would have liked for Media Matters or Right Wing Watch, I would like either of them to have brought up any of the things that we've talked about already that are deeply problematic. But I would have most liked them to bring up this interview. This is a guy we have not necessarily seen before on our podcast, but boy, he sucks.
John Gundalo is president and founder of Understanding the Threat, the only organization in the nation which provides a detailed assessment of the enemy threat in your local area, provides law enforcement investigative solutions and create state-level counterinsurgency strategies to identify, dismantle, and defeat the jihadist network.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, did you cut through what that's saying?
Oh, that's not good.
You hear what he's
saying?
Oh,
that's real bad. That's the only website that allows you to find out where Muslims live and fucking show up at their house and fuck them up.
Spoiler alert, he also trains cops.
God damn it!
Notably, Maricopa County cops.
God damn it! No! Fuck!
Yeah.
Why isn't he dead yet?
Well, I don't know.
Why isn't he dead yet?
I don't know. So he sucks, already. We just know that from Alex's intro.
Man, we should have gotten a Maricopa County number.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been fantastic. That would have been great.
What if we could have gotten Joe Arpaio?
Oh, what if we could have gotten his actual home phone number?
We could get it from the Dennis Montgomery information.
That's true.
Oh, I got to call Dennis.
Shit, we got to do it.
So let's let John say a few things, and then we'll talk a little bit about his life's work.
What I think the problem is, the biggest threat, Alex, is us. And I don't mean you and me. I mean our leadership that has forgotten and been criminally negligent. And
I wish he'd stop there.
That would have been great.
We could have a baseline of like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally get it.
Government is negligent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't like where he goes with it.
In defending their oaths of office, which is a legally binding oath. And they've to understand who we are. I think if our leaders understand who we are and what the underpinnings of the republic are, then when the Marxists and the communists and the socialists and the Islamic movement, the jihadis come along, we easily shrug them off as being absurd, and we won't let them in our society to have any play.
Okay. All right. Bad.
Not great.
Bad.
I would put that as a negative. I would put that in the negative column.
Yeah, but I'd also put him at like a
-4.
But that's not bad for an Alex guest. You know, like that
-4 is just average.
So I want to tell you, because you have no idea, who is John Gondolo?
I don't want to know.
Quote.
Do I?
John Gondolo touts his FBI background to lend himself credibility for his training courses.
Was
which
he
are
in the
offered,
FBI?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Which are offered to law enforcement and civilians alike. Often omitted, however, is the controversial manner in which he departed the federal law enforcement agency. In 2008, Gondolo resigned from the bureau in disgrace after a number of ethical breaches and bizarre conduct, including admitting to having affairs with female FBI agents and a confidential source he was assigned to protect during the corruption case of former U.S. Rep. William Jefferson, Democrat from Louisiana. He also solicited that witness for a $75,000 donation to an anti-terrorism group.
That's not
good. It's actually an anti-Muslim front.
That's not good.
From an article in the New Orleans Times-Picayune, quote, according to court documents unsealed last week, the FBI and its Office of Professional Responsibility knew at least as far back as December that the agent, John Gondolo, had an intimate relationship with a confidential source he thought could damage the investigation. But they never passed that information to the U.S. Attorney's Office prosecuting Jefferson or the lead FBI agent in the investigation. Quote, this is just unbelievable, said George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley, who has followed the case closely. Quote, if the FBI was aware that an agent had an improper relationship with a confidential source, it is information that should have been disclosed to the court. It's very disturbing, said Harvey Silverglate, a Boston lawyer and author of recent book critical of the federal law enforcement. Quote, first of all, an agent shouldn't be having an affair with a government informant. If that does happen, of course it must be disclosed. Because
that seems very simple.
Yeah, because it could affect the credibility of the informant and the individual agent and the investigation.
Oh, you think?
Yup. According to a statement from Modi, that's the lady, the informant that he was banging around with, included in the unsealed document, she and Gondolo engaged in, quote, mild intimacy in New Orleans in April 2005.
Heavy petting?
And that on subsequent occasions, Gondolo made, quote, inappropriate sexual advances in a car, at her townhouse, and at her parents' home. On one occasion, she said he was, quote, overly aggressive, but she fended him off. Once or twice then, between late April and end of May 2005, they had consensual sex. From there, he resigned from the FBI in disgrace and began inciting hatred and fear of Muslims. From a 2000...
Lateral move. Lateral move.
Yeah. From a 2012 article in the Associated Press. Quote, John Gondolo, vice president of the Arlington, Virginia-based Strategic Engagement Group, is leading the training being held this week at the World Outreach Church in Murfreesboro. During an anti-Sharia law conference in Madison last year, Gondolo said that local mosques were front organizations for the Muslim Brotherhood. Quote, they do not have a First Amendment right to do anything, Gondolo said then. He did not return a message from the Associated Press seeking comment in time for the story. Muslims don't have a First Amendment.
Oh boy. These people who love the Constitution sure hate the Constitution.
In March 2018, Southwest Airlines condemned John Gondolo, a former FBI agent whose, quote, Muslim threat training has repeatedly ensnared Arizona law enforcement agencies in controversy. They called him, what he did on Twitter, a cruel and inappropriate tweet targeting an airline employee. Gondolo posted a tweet picturing an unidentified worker at the airport as he traveled to the Western Conservative Conference in Phoenix. Quote, I wish this were shocking. A Sharia adherent Muslim at my plane, he wrote, adding the hashtag, quote, Sharia kills.
So just like a person.
Can't, yeah, just a random dude. Just they like posted his picture on Twitter.
Just like a person.
Yeah. And as it turns out, Gondolo has a deep history of doing this shit. In September 2017, he posted pictures he took of two TSA employees he decided were Muslim just based on the fact that they looked Arabic to him, with the captions, quote, am I the only person who sees a problem with terrorists protecting us? And, quote, nothing like traveling through LaGuardia Airport with Sharia-adherent Muslims wearing TSA uniforms. What a fucking pile of shit.
I really think there might be something bad there. Can't put my finger on it, Dan.
What a monster.
It's almost like he judges people based upon not like their content of their character, but instead the color of their skin.
Right. I agree. Now, so we have a guy who's going around and touting his FBI credentials in order to do these anti-Muslim law enforcement training things when he clearly just hates Muslims. Like, it's not about some sort of fear of radical jihad or anything like that. He's triggered by the idea that anybody who might be of Arabic heritage is working at an airport, to the point where he's three times taken pictures of people apropos of nothing. It's not like those people who are like, jihad.
He didn't have a conversation.
No.
He didn't talk to them.
No.
And he saw them and said that Muslims are, yeah.
They're clearly pictures that were taken without these people's consent, too.
For sure.
They're not looking at the camera. They're probably zoomed in. It's crazy. Like, this guy is a dick. Alex is having him on the show to talk about these great threats, like socialism and Islam in America. He needs to do a better job of vetting his guests.
Isn't that a crime?
What?
I think it might be a crime.
What?
Right? To anonymously take a picture of somebody and then post slanderous things about them?
Yeah, but those people are the only ones who have standing to say anything about
That's
it, so we
true.
Can't do anything.
That's true.
So we have a professional problem with what he does that clearly it's not based in actual evidence, it's based on hatred.
Yeah.
I have another problem with him, and that's that he fucked a fucking informant while he was working for the FBI that almost jeopardized a huge investigation.
What do you mean almost? That's ground for a mistrial right there.
It didn't turn out that it was.
Oh, what a surprise, because our justice system is great.
No, because what we just talked about earlier, that they didn't report it.
Yeah, no, but you should be, that should be then like a, oh, he gets a lawyer and they're like, yeah, of course that's a mistrial. We're going to either invalidate this thing or redo it.
Well, they tried to appeal the case.
Because their justice system is great.
The case was successful against, what was that guy's name? The William Jefferson, Representative William Jefferson, the corruption case. And when they tried to appeal it on the grounds that they didn't disclose that the informant was fucking, this John Gondolo.
Right, which is grounds for a mistrial immediately, and if the justice system worked perfectly.
It turns out it's not, though. Like, I think that it's—
Really?
I think that it's probably fair that they decided not to rehear the case, because it was not necessarily substantive to the case itself. It's abhorrent behavior on the part of an agent, and that's why he had to fucking hit the bricks in disgrace. He got sacked hard. But, like, in terms of the actual case, all he was doing was driving her to meet with him and posing as the driver. So their relationship wouldn't have actually It wouldn't have changed the outcome of the information that was gathered by her wearing a wire talking to him.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So, like, I understand why the appeal would be unsuccessful, but it is the epitome of unethical behavior. It's actions unbecoming of someone who we hope would be in that position.
What, and in the FBI? They still killed Fred Hampton. They murdered him. Fuck off, FBI.
Right. They could have just fucked Fred Hampton, you know?
That would have been great.
Anyway, that's probably the worst riff I've ever done. So,
as long as it was consensual. You know what I'm saying?
Do you agree?
What?
Do you consent to me making that riff? Anyway,
I think it's grounds for a redo of this podcast, but otherwise.
From the top!
From the top!
Repackage that hand. So, Jordan, in this next clip, we get the last little piece of John Gondolo saying something. And then I have a real harsh criticism of the narrative that he's putting out there. And this is something that Alex talks about all the time. It's part of his, sort of his main worldview, and I think it's deeply, deeply flawed.
Millions of people are dead from the Marxist, communist, socialist movements. Millions of people have been killed by the sword of Islam in the 1400 years that they've existed, and their doctrine supports it. That's the difference.
Neighbors. So, Jordan, Alex and his guests have brass balls comparing the deaths of Islam or socialism or Marxism that they've caused. When you consider the statistics, they are conveniently ignoring, to wit, the number of deaths you can easily associate as a direct result of capitalism or Christianity.
Bah.
Let's start with some easy stuff. The USA is responsible for between 10 and 15 million deaths in Vietnam, Korean, and Iraq wars that we've had. Various other proxy wars in Pakistan, Sudan, Afghanistan, other places around the world add an additional 9 to 14 million deaths. So just with pointless wars that we've been in since World War II, we have, you know, between 19 and 29 million deaths on our hands. Then, according to UNICEF, 22,000 children die every day because of the direct consequences of poverty, or 8,030,000 a year.
Bah.
Consider the idea that there was a very robust Native American population in America before we came around. Then you got to consider the entire slave trade. After all, what could be more capitalist than selling people?
Bah.
Then let's talk about Christianity a tiny bit. In 1234, an archbishop of Bremen ordered the slaughter of a group of peasants in Stedding, leading to between 5,000 and 11,000 deaths.
Man of God.
They were labeled heretics there because they refused to pay church taxes.
God said so.
So that's the intersection of Christianity and capitalism.
God said so. God loves the tithe. If you don't pay the tithe, the sentence is death, right? God said that. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure that was actually, I'm pretty sure Jesus said that directly. You know what he was all about? Money for the church.
Money, 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 money. The Catholic Church killed about 20,000 people in the Albigensian Crusade, which they launched because they didn't like how the Cathars had Gnostic beliefs mixed in with their Catholicism.
Gross.
When the Catholic armies laid siege to the Cathars in 1209, there was some concern that soldiers would have difficulty telling the difference between the Cathars and the Catholics.
Nah.
So the abbot commander replied, quote, kill them all. The Lord will recognize his own. Then there's the other crusades, all the inquisitions, all the centuries of witch hunting slash burning, the rampant history of colonialism and failed missionary activity that mysteriously pivots into genocide pretty regularly.
Huh.
An eyewitness of the Spanish missionaries' behavior towards natives was supposed to have been described by an eyewitness thusly, quote, the Spaniards found pleasure in inventing all kinds of odd cruelties. They built a long giblet, long enough for the toes to touch the ground to prevent strangulation, and then hanged 13 natives at a time in honor of Christ our Savior and the 12 apostles. Then, straw was wrapped around their torn bodies and they were burned alive. The population of Hispaniola was reduced from 400,000 to 200. They killed so many natives that they had to begin importing slaves from other islands. Quote, in less than a normal lifetime of a single human being, an entire culture of millions of people, thousands of years resident in their homeland had been exterminated.
You know what? I am going to go way out on a limb here. And I am going to say that, in fact, the problem is not religion.
No.
The problem is fucking dudes. It is not people.
Oh, they were the ones who were doing that.
It is dudes.
Yeah, do you want to
know what the biggest similarity between Christianity
and their wives back then too?
Oh, for sure. Do you know what the biggest similarity between Christianity and Islam is fucking patriarchy.
There's a big part of that.
That's it. Like, at the end of the day, fucking dudes, man.
There's a very strong trend of that.
These people are fucking apes. They're not human beings. They're just a weird, like, mix of all of the evolutionary behavior and the lizard brain and they're not people.
But the point that I wanted to make, I agree with you. And it is dudes. But also,
it's dudes.
The bigger point that I want to make is that I don't think that, like, communism has killed the amount of people that Alex pretends they have.
It's probably dudes.
Because a lot of it is mismanagement, and they always overinflate the statistics to include, like, famines and droughts. We talked about that in terms of
which
China.
Which are caused by those dudes.
No doubt. No doubt. But that is also a unfortunate byproduct of mismanagement. That's not the same thing as slaughtering people, although they also did do that.
They did do that.
But the numbers are hyperinflated because of natural trends that happen on the ground. The idea of, you know, 22,000 children die every day because of, like, direct poverty causes. That is being done by capitalism.
Yep.
Like, that is a direct result of it. It is the violent end of what capitalism does.
Yep.
It is the thing that you don't want to look at. And in the same way, I don't think that Christianity and I don't think Islam is responsible for the other deaths either. I think it's, like you say, it's dudes.
It's dudes.
It's evil dudes who use a system in order to empower their evilness.
Yep.
The only thing that really is like, no, this is really its fault, is capitalism.
Yep.
Because.
Or wealth. Greed.
Right.
I mean, power.
But those are the primary drivers and motivators
within
capitalism.
Of capitalism. Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I think at the end of the day, what we're saying is that we should all go to Seattle and murder Jeff Bezos and pee in his throat.
There you go.
Isn't that what we are all saying?
I think so.
Again, for real, dudes, go to bed.
Yeah,
for
go
like
to bed, dudes.
For like 20 years, just go to bed.
Go to bed.
Just get out of there.
Take a lap.
Take five.
Take
a lap. Just get out of here for a while. Let everybody fucking fix shit, and then we'll come back and we'll be like, oh no, but it'll be too late for us.
So I hate John Gondolo quite a bit. I loved learning about his.
I hate him
history.
Now too. Thanks for bringing another human being that I wish for death upon.
No problem.
Great. Great, Dan.
I ended up like running out of time because I was like, oh my god. Capitalism and Christianity have been responsible for a lot of various weird and very fucked up deaths over the years that Alex doesn't want to talk about. And so I almost ended up, like, we would have talked about that for an hour, just because I would have been like, oh, here's another story. I was going to say,
I'm about to throw in, like, 40 of mine.
Yeah, but we can get off that. John Gondolo's gone now, and now we come to the end of Alex's time, because, like I said, David Knight fills in for the end of the show. And Alex is getting out early. And when I said earlier in the show that we're doing that Alex's fate is in his own hands, this doesn't inspire confidence in me. Like, I don't think.
You don't think he's got this one?
If this is what he's coming with when he's about to leave, on the day that he gets kicked off everything, no, I don't think this is good. He's haunted
by something he cannot. You know, we will beat these globalists if people wake up and if they take action. But if they don't, we're going to lose everything. It's that simple.
It's because
they're coming
right?
for everything we've
the
got.
The band is why
we're
he doesn't
soft,
have
dumb
it.
Americans that spend half our time in front of screens every day. And they don't want us jacking into the Matrix. Take the Matrix analogy like an attack ship. Trying
sure.
to send people in to get people out of it.
But I don't like
they
Hollywood.
Be arrogant.
Don't,
oh,
say,
that
Zion, don't say Zion.
So what if he's got more viewers and listeners than us? We don't want to admit that because our sponsors might leave us. Your sponsors are big megacores. They're not going to leave you because you're falling. They're going to increase your funding. And you figured that out. But they had a price. There is a price, barbarian. And you said, what's the price? Advocate all truth. Submit to evil, become instruments of corruption, instruments of racketeering, call for censorship, spew out endless lies, and destroy your competition even as you defame them. Only then will you be powerful enough.
like, even in terms of times he's done that exact same thing in the past, he's done, that's a C.
That's
a C job in terms of, like, you got.
I zoned out a little
totally.
Bit.
Totally.
I kept thinking about how maybe it's because of Cake that he's going to be perpetually.
You kind of just want to listen to Cake.
He's going to be perpetually mediocre.
Maybe it's just me that I wanted to listen to Cake.
I enjoyed Cake whenever it had its time, but now you've got to let Cake go.
They're unlike any other band from that era.
What about Soul Coughing?
Much better.
They're very much like Soul Coughing.
Not really. I'm not.
All right.
I'm not saying that Cake is better than all those bands or anything like that. But I don't think that any other band from the 90s around that time when I was of that age,
uh-huh.
I don't think any of their music hits my ear the same way. I think Cake was very unique. Not in terms, I don't like The Distance necessarily. That's not where I live necessarily.
Right.
I love Commissioning a Symphony in C.
Great song. I will not argue with you.
That's what I think is more indicative, not necessarily of their sound, but like what makes them weird.
I think
what
that
makes
is,
them really great.
I think that is actually the opposite of that. That one was a departure of theirs from their quote sound.
No.
What was that? Track 4 on
Here's the problem. What made that song great also exists in the other songs, like The Distance or I Will Survive.
Uh-huh.
Like their versions.
What, they were covers of better songs? All right.
Well, no, but no. Yeah.
I'm just fucking with you. How is it that eventually any conversation we have about Alex turns into like a, so here's why this music from the 90s wasn't as good as you might remember.
I think we already said why. It's because that is a boring facsimile of Alex doing his demon voice and shit like that. It's uninspired. It's not like, there's nothing behind it that we haven't heard before. It's like,
the hit they had though, the where everybody danced? What was the one? It played on MTV for like
You're
forever.
Never there?
No.
It's a good song.
No, it was the one, shit. Now I'm gonna lose my mind.
Long skirt, long jacket.
That was the one.
Great song too.
It's a great song.
You know what the thing
I agree.
About, you know what the
they
thing
had
about,
three great songs.
You know what the thing about Cake was? They were a bass-driven band, in a world full of, guitar-driven bands.
Mm.
The only other people you could talk about is like, Les Claypool. And I don't like that. I don't like
no.
that world.
Their charm was built around the vocals of that guy because
Bullshit.
They were so terrible.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. Fuck you. They're
strongly
and
disagree.
The only reason that the vocals of that band were so palatable at the time was because of Soul Coughing. I'm telling you right now,
Soul Coughing's hit? Walk Around in Circles. I don't need to walk around in circles.
There were so many.
Walk around in circles.
Yeah,
no.
Essentially.
No.
Adult Swim played them on a loop. That was what happened. Anyways.
No, you're not getting
I think there's a direct lineage based upon that.
You're not getting off the hook.
This
nearly
is
this easily.
Look, now we're going to start talking about Fastball, and this is trouble.
Fastball, The Way is pretty good.
Well,
That album wasn't that great. I did buy that album. Okay, so singles.
I love this show.
From Soul Coughing.
I'm telling you, this is the greatest show we've ever done.
Soul Coughing.
Yes.
Singles.
Yes.
From 1994, Down to This.
Down to This wasn't terrible.
No, what? You've never heard that song.
Yeah, I have. It goes like this. Down to This. That's it.
None of these charted. None of these charted except Circles.
Right.
That's the I don't need to walk around. No, very different.
No, but they did do the, shit. What was the one?
I don't know. It didn't fucking chart.
It was the one. No. It was the song about
St. Louise is listening.
Fuck.
Super Bon Bon.
No, Super Bon Bon was fine. Shit. I used to listen to this track all the time.
Soundtrack to Mary.
Fuck. What was it? Now I can't remember. I remember listening to this in around 2004 whenever I was driving to go visit a bunch of colleges. There was this song wherein they talk about, shit. What am I fucking doing? What's the name of the goddamn song,
Dan? What are you doing? I think you're probably trying to come up with the name of a bad song.
No, shit. It's like a fuck, now all I can think of is No More Parties in L.A. by Kanye and Kendrick Lamar. Fuck, What's the name of it? I'm going to lose my mind.
I can't help you, man.
I'm going to lose my fucking mind. I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
Never There was a good song. Ugh. I Will Survive, The Distance, those were hits. Not the best ones, though. Mm. Sheep Go to Heaven, that was a fun
Sheep
one.
Go to Heaven was actually
that was,
fun.
That was pretty good. Short Skirt, Long Jacket. Yeah, that's about it.
Yep.
Now let's talk about...
We did it.
Now let's talk about Tonic.
Ugh.
You Wanted More? That's a great song.
No, it is not.
It is.
No, it is not.
It really is.
No, it is not.
I don't know when I got bitter, but love is surely better when it's gone.
Ugh. No. Shit. Everybody is, people are going to post in the group the song that I'm thinking of, and it's going to murder me.
I hope it's just talk about how great Tonic is.
Ah, no.
I'm not sure the Tonic was great, but I did love that song when I was younger.
It's like, it's one of those long rambling songs. It's one of those long rambling songs where the guy talks. No! God damn it! It's where he talks about the whole thing.
Oh, 2012 by Rush.
No, you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. I'm losing my mind. Anyways, we got to skip this. We got to skip this. We can't do this anymore.
Okay. So we're coming to the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Alex has made his his dismount sort of there.
Right.
And, he has done his attempt at the demon voice. And now he's going to try to, really raise the stakes on people, not defending him. And it's really, really weird.
Because they see whatever's in America and the existing free market capitalist system that's got its problems, but it's perfect compared to them. They see it as the enemy in a existential overthrow. So they have taken over the internet, got us all to advertise that we're on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, let us push all our energy to them to make them number one for years and to make them 90% of the web. And now they're using that monopoly power to crush everyone and strangle it and say, socially conform to us and we won't censor you. So most conservatives went, fine, what is the token of travel? They said, we want you to attack Alex Jones. People were told this. Don't promote Alex Jones. In fact, attack him. And we'll let those videos go viral. So everyone, from former members of my family to people that's I've known and done nothing to, lined up to attack and demonize me for a year and a half to set the precedent. Then they moved to the next person. Okay, now it's Candace Owens. Get rid of her. Now it's this person. And then everybody gangs up on them.
Fine
until they think they'll be the last person standing. And Glenn Beck was told 4 years ago
that
he would be the last guy standing, but now he knows they set him up.
I mean, Alex is right there just saying that attacking him is the mark of the beast. It's the it's the token of travel or whatever. Like everyone, you know, what do you want your shit to stay online? Talk shit on Alex.
Yeah.
Talk shit on Alex. And I'm here to say it doesn't help.
That's true.
We've been talking shit about Alex for two years.
For a long time.
And it has not helped.
Everybody else with a larger platform has essentially ignored us.
Thank you to everyone who does like our show.
That is
but,
nice.
But the rest of the world, it's not like some magical golden ticket into the Willy Wonka factory of search engine optimization hits.
No, we can't even get into Podmas. We're fine.
We can't get into anything. So, like, this is cockamamie to me, and it also, it's one of those things. I love that he's having to dig deep into his bag of tricks and bring out all of these things. Like, he's bringing out the idea that, like, it's the mark of the beast, to attack.
A lot
him.
Of God on this episode.
There's a bit of it, but then also the other.
Cause it's time to pray.
Well, but then also the, Colonel Travis metaphor with the remember InfoWars.
Right.
Like, he's having to do all of this stuff just to rationalize, like, I gotta keep people on board. What I see here, I see just weakness. You know, I don't know if it's just my awareness of him or anything like that, but I see a guy who's been bluffing for a long time who like realizes now that who he's playing against at the poker table is gonna call. Like he realized up till this point, it didn't look like YouTube, Facebook, it didn't look like they had a hand they were going to play.
Uh-uh.
And then out of nowhere, the river hit and they made their straight or whatever. I've been using way too many poker analogies.
No, that was a solid analogy.
But like, that's what's going on. And he's like, I know I'm going to have to fold, but I'm going to sit here and vamp for a little while. So he brings out some of the familiar narratives. He has on an Islamophobe because, you know, keep the status quo going. You know, it's honestly, I wanted him to freak out.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to see from him. That's what it would have fit.
No, it seems like he's going a little bit belly up.
Yeah.
Like, I think he might be done.
He's surrendering a little bit.
Maybe that's our monkey's paw situation is, Alex Jones is taken down. And so we have to scramble to find somebody else.
No, we got plenty Jim Baker, of 2009, 2010 stuff.
That's true. But Jim Baker isn't going to sustain us in the present day.
No, but there's so many mysteries of how things got to this point. You know, like, I don't think the present day taking down of Alex inconveniences us, except it's harder for me to find the actual episodes. You know, like I have to jump through hurdles a little bit in order to find them, but that's a small issue. I don't think, like, Alex Jones disappears tomorrow from every single platform or whatever. If that happens, we could still do this show for a very long time.
Right.
Uncovering, like, how did this happen? What are the transformations that happened?
Right.
Like, we could do this show for the next 5 years just going back through his archives.
It would be a very interesting history.
And honestly, yeah. I would much rather do that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because the present is not that interesting. Even him getting kicked off all of these platforms isn't that interesting. What have we seen? We've seen him do the exact same show that he did before.
It's really
disappointing. He blames the Chinese. He blames everybody but himself. He pretends he didn't do the things that he very absolutely did that people are accusing him of. He creates straw man arguments against himself to defend himself about, and then he sells stuff. It's nothing. It's not different at all. It's boring.
Yeah, he's going to have to make a real turn. Either he does or he dies.
I think, like I said, his fate is in his hands.
Yeah. And if he doesn't make a turn, he's gone.
Yeah, probably.
That's fascinating.
Probably.
I'm really interested by that.
And it's not that he's going to be gone because he's been oppressed by, like, the tech elites or anything. It's because he failed to evolve.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, when you are in this game that he pretends he's the best at, you gotta keep swimming.
You gotta keep going.
You have to keep swimming and changing or else.
You've gotta be a daddy shark. Bop, 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 bop.
And that's what leads him into embarrassment so often because he ends up, like, going along with Pizzagate and then having to apologize and stuff like that. But if you don't play by that game, what you end up with is so reserved that you have no traction. You aren't cutting edge. You aren't interesting to the idiots that are your market.
The problem is he's playing defense. We're so used to him always playing offense.
But he's trying to play offensive defense.
Yeah, but he's not doing good.
He's yelling just, Chinese did this to me.
Yeah, but he's playing a counterattacking style,
Roger Stone. He's trying to be Roger Stone.
Yeah,
but
he can't do that. He's not savvy enough. He's got one move.
The playbook of always attack, never defend works really well when you have been doing that since you were 19 or something like that,
right.
Like Roger.
Right.
At high stakes levels. Alex has not really had any real pushback until a couple years ago. Like, I know that he had people who were like,
This guy's fucking shit,
you're an idiot and stuff like that. But it's the same thing with, like, I get comments on our website, like, about blogs I wrote and stuff like that. They're like, Soros is a demon, you should know that. And, like,
of course. Sure.
But it's the same thing for him. That's what he's been able to do for years and years, and now he can't.
Fair enough.
It's an existential crisis for him in some ways. I don't know. Anyway, we got one last clip, and this is how Alex ends the show. He decides to go out a little bit dramatically, but this clip's a little bit longer, but I think it's a fun ride, so
okay.
I left it intact.
Okay.
But this is everybody's fight, and it's happening now in a big, big way. They didn't just take my podcast off. They took all our others. They took Owen Schroyer's off. They just said,
David Knight, you
bullied a child. You were transphobic. You were Islamophobic. We don't even show you what we say. You're now off everything because we organize the left to lobby for it and to call for it and to pillory and to have lawsuits concerted with it to demonize you.
Blurg.
This is the plan, but the number one most important thing you can understand is this. This is about you. This is about shutting you up. This is about coming after your free speech. This is about the big enchilada. Period. And
I could go for an enchilada right now.
Now is the time to tell your neighbors, your friends, your family, everybody you work with, not just today, but tomorrow, next week, and next month. Hey, remember InfoWars? Remember NewsWars? Remember President Biden? Man, the
you're
guy
already
scared
talking
of,
about yourself in the past tense,
the
dude.
Guy they don't want you to know about. What is it he's talking about? Well, he was an evil American that learned about a global government plan. He was an evil American that learned about a plan to break up the family. He was an evil American that learned about a plan to make us all poor that Bill Maher even admits.
What?
He was an evil American that they had to be taught a lesson. So we cherry-picked a few things he said over the years and misconstrued it and built it all up as the pretext to then set the precedent to shut everybody else down. So why don't you be a free human and actually find out at InfoWars.com/show? Because, you know, the next thing they're going to do is try to get rid of our apps and our Droid apps and our iPhone apps. You can still subscribe to for now and share with folks. That's a fine vehicle. But the most important thing I've been talking about for a long time in probably 50 meetings, and today it's going to finally happen. I was in a meeting last week, and I said they'll ban us off YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter probably in the next 2 weeks.
Everybody else said that.
And I'm like, no, they won't. I'm like, well, I just need links on the articles and the pages. Get the podcast here because the podcast is us. A lot of you can't watch or listen live. We're going to be off all these platforms. You're going to want to go get the podcast. But what do I know? You know, it's kind of like around here, freaking meteorite could hit the building. And we got a great crew. They're just not arrogant like, you know, the New York Times. They don't think much of themselves in a good way. So it's kind of like, never going to happen. Never going to happen. I told like 5 people in meetings last week, never going to happen. Because, you know, I don't know anything. So what'll never happen is links all over InfoWars.com and at the top of every article and the bottom of every article to get the free newsletter and to get the free app. Because all of you need to get it and share it with everybody. Separately, globalists think you're dumb. They think you're weak. They think you're not going to go get the great supplements and products we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. They think you're not going to take advantage of the big sales we've got 40% off on the fish.
That's how he decides to end his time before handing the baton to David Knight.
Do you know what I heard immediately?
He should probably not bring off-air meetings on air.
No, I heard.
That's what I heard.
The same tone when we did our live show in Austin. That was the same tone as his last episode being broadcast live in Austin radio.
So you're implying, and we don't know this.
He knows.
But you're implying that he knows that there's more to come of his downfall.
Oh yeah.
That has not yet been, not happened. I mean, we now know that since this episode was recorded and we are recording, we know that now MailChimp is gone.
Yep.
MailKeemp. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else the world can do to him. Cause it's not like some organization's gonna be able to take away his short, wave frequency or something like that. You know, there are things that are just intrinsic and built in terms of like, I will put this out and if you will reboost it, then there's still market access, but it's so diminished. I agree with you though. I mean, what I hear is resignation.
Yep.
I hear, and who knows? The next week, maybe it's a bad day, you know? Maybe the day it happens.
Could be.
Maybe the day it happens, you expect as he comes in guns blazing and he's just like, I am fucking tired. He just can't do it. So maybe it's like a thing where he shows up to work and he's like, fuck it.
It happened, maybe it just happened too soon and he needs to get with his writer's room and come up with like an angle on it.
Roger.
And he didn't have time.
Roger,
for
tell
it.
Me what to do.
He didn't have time for it. I mean, also, as part of the coverage of the Manafort trial, they had a picture of Manafort and Roger Stone and some other asshole.
Atwater?
Probably in like the 70s.
Yeah.
God, Roger Stone looks like a fucking rat.
He looks weird.
It's insane. Yeah. He's disgusting.
Yeah. Also, I people have asked if I've watched that Bring Me Roger Stone documentary. Uh-huh. Give Me Roger Stone. And spoiler alert, I watched about 10 minutes of it and I turned it off because it is propaganda through and through.
Did not watch it.
I can't imagine the end of it is anything interesting because the tone that they were setting up was like, I got to turn this off. This is way too friendly.
As much as I find Roger Stone's low-key behavior to be...
Not low-key, low-key.
Low-key, yeah. Low-key in the sense that low-key was described in American Gods by Neil Gaiman, sure. Who's not a sponsor of the show. Neil Gaiman, if you're listening,
just kicked off Facebook. Because he was mentioned on our podcast.
No, it is such a, like, I don't want to. No, I don't want to engage with his reality.
Although within the first like 5 minutes or so, he's like, "When I was young, I learned the value of disinformation," and that's when you can turn it off.
And then you're like, "Then you, yeah, you did."
That's when you're like, "Click,
peace,
all right.
You nailed it. All right, goodbye."
Message received, Dickweed. So, like, I honestly think that we've said most of what we feel and most of what we need to say about this episode, the 86ing episode of Alex Jones.
86 on 86. It's not bad.
It's not bad. Even though we've said it a couple times, it still has a ring to it. It's still pretty good. I don't know what the future will bring. I don't pretend to. Even as someone who studies him, I can't predict the future. I can, and I think you have also felt weakness.
Oh, yeah.
On his part. And like we've said, maybe it's a momentary lapse and then he comes swinging harder than ever. I think that's probably implausible. But I don't know. And at the end of the day, I don't think it really matters because what Alex Jones embodies is still just as dangerous, even if he's not on Facebook, even if he's not on YouTube. The reach is diminished, but the people who are being abused by him are still being hurt by him. And by that, I mean his fans.
Yeah.
Those people are still there. The people are going to become more radical. Because they feel that these sort of actions reinforce his narratives.
Yeah.
So you end up in a position where it's like, well, yeah, you know, two steps forward, one step back to some extent.
Right.
We've ended up further down Alex Jones's timeline and narrative, perhaps.
Right.
Now, see, that is what I'm talking about. When I said his fate is in his hands, he should realize that. And I think he does on some level that this works for him.
He just doesn't know how to make it work for him.
Right. Because
on a certain level, there is a real opportunity that's actually become available to him that he will not know how to take advantage of simply because he believes that if he continues doing what he's doing, it will work out in the end.
Well, because it always has.
Exactly.
He's gotten into somewhat of a holding pattern.
This
with
is his... when we get into hubris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All it would really take for him to get through this, I think.
Val Venus's penis.
Sure. Get those Japanese wrestlers like Taka Michinoku
gotta
come
get
over
him
and
in
chop
there.
That pee-pee off.
Gotta get him in there.
But like, all it would really take is for him to get more extreme, say similar things to what he's saying, but advance the narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
And cut it out with some of the stuff that really is problematic. Like we're talking about active racism.
Right.
That sort of stuff. That's all it would really take. If he scaled some of that, but that would also probably lose him a bunch of his audience.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Here's what he does. Here's how he does it. All right. He goes for the redemption narrative. He learns.
No, because Glenn Beck tried that, and everyone realized what happened.
Yeah, everybody saw it was bullshit. But I don't mean the redemption in like we like him again. I mean he goes the full opposite direction.
Oh, sure.
And says that, you know what? I have been fighting this whole time to protect the Republic, to protect Trump, who I thought was a genius, who I thought was going to save us. And at the end of the day, he did not speak for me. And if he doesn't speak for me, then he's not going to speak for you. And you know what we really need to do? We need to send a message not just to the mainstream media, but to the government as it is, who has co-opted President Trump. And we need to make sure that he pays attention to us and he listens to our power. And you know what? Until he does, we will fight him. And then he's on the offensive again. He's got it.
The circumstances are almost perfect, too, with that story that I brought up about Trump saying that California can't enforce their own standards.
Exactly.
Because he could weave that into, like, I hate the idea of this climate hoax, but bullshit that you say that they can't make their own rules.
Exactly.
He could make a principled stand on being against climate change, but what matters so much more is states' rights, and Trump is against that.
Yep.
I must philosophically make my break.
That's
never going to happen.
Never.
I think what's more likely is within 2 months he's going to end up on Project Camelot. Because he's going to realize that Kerry Cassidy now has a bigger reach than him.
Indeed.
So we can look forward to that episode.
That'll be a great one.
So fun. Can't wait for him to show up as a guest on a bunch of weirdo asshole YouTube channels.
That'd be great.
God damn it. I would love it. Anyway, Jordan, this
in the meantime,
this has been fun.
If you wanted to find us, we have not been kicked off many social media platforms.
None.
Not even one?
Nope.
I feel like YouPorn is still not willing to hold our, they're not willing to do a lot of stuff with me.
Yeah, but that's sort of up in the air at this point. They're sort of wishy-washy on us.
Yeah.
But we have a website, knowledgefight.com.
Indeed, you can follow us on Twitter at @knowledgefight. You can go
to Facebook.
Ooh, we are on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook group. Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
Please join that.
We've seen actually a lot of new members join the group, and it's been fantastic. Everybody's been active. Everybody loves.
Yep, because we put the word out that our Facebook page is not so active, but the Facebook group is where there's a lot of action. So please, if you like the show, I appreciate you liking the page, but the group is the way to go.
Yeah.
We're also on iTunes. I haven't been kicked off that at all. Search on there.
We
have prosthetic limbs. That's pretty exciting.
Now we do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ian.
It is your turn, Dan, but I'm going to tell you, I have a strong contender that I'm hoping that you're going to choose.
All right. Well, I have only one candidate.
It's a guy from Arizona.
Oh, are you talking about Joe Arpaio?
Not this one. He wasn't on this episode. I hope he gets burned alive.
He was vaguely mentioned.
You know what I want for him?
No, John Condolo isn't from Arizona.
I want him to be a latrine. Like, I just want him to be held in a hole while everybody just does their business on top of him. And then he drowns.
Jordan.
He drowns in it.
Jordan.
Oh, I want him to die that way.
As a stickler for language, I must say that would not make him a latrine. He's inside a latrine. But,
make his mouth a latrine.
John Condolo is not from Arizona. He just did some training with the Maricopa County, Sheriff's Department.
I apologize.
So, I would say that my person, from this episode who is the worst is that, Abbott Commander from, 1234. Who told the Catholics who are killing the Cathars, who cares if you kill the right people? God'll sort them out.
He's the worst.
Hey, Abbott Commander, go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.